Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday, the 18th of December, year of our Lord 2025. Well, we have more piratry. We're going to be talking about pirates and pieces of gold, and as well as what is glittering here at Christmas. Amazing news about what is going on in Venezuela, and everybody's talking about, oh, wait a minute, I thought that we're going to have war declared there. We'll just wait. I think they've set in motion the things that are going to draw us into war very, very quickly. May have it by Christmas. Of course, they've already canceled leave for the military for Christmas. Trump, however, is giving the bureaucracy a couple of extra days, so they get the day before and the day after Christmas off this year. Isn't he nice? He's not Scrooge at all, right? We'll be right back. Going to talk a little bit about it. It wasn't actually in December, but it's actually in July. But it was 100 years ago that we had the Scopes trial here in Tennessee. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. What does it tell us about the truth? What does it tell us about our attitudes towards the truth? What does it tell us about our attitudes about releasing data? I think the Christians made a big tactical error there in terms of trying to prohibit speech that we disagree with, that I think is easily disproven. You don't want to try to hide things. This is a mistake that Pete Hegseth is making right now. As a matter of fact, he keeps saying, well, of course I'm not going to show you the video of the second strike. They have proudly displayed the video of every single one of these strikes, including that first one. And I said when I saw that, I said, that's unjustified. What they don't want you to see is a video of shipwrecked people trying to stay afloat on wreckage, waving for help, being executed by the U.S. military under his orders. And so that is the real issue. Many people are calling them out on it, of course, now. But I think as we look at the war, this is all coming up again because it is going to come up again. I think it is imminent, the war that is there. You didn't move the aircraft carrier there for nothing. And it's not even really about, as always, it's not about what Trump says it's about. He's now starting to talk about the reality of it, the resources that he wants, because he is a pirate king. But this is brought up a lot yesterday because the press conference that Trump held, so we're going to do a primetime press conference, and everybody was saying, oh, this is it. It's going to be war. He's going to announce war. No, he's going to do that, I don't think, at all. He will wait until finally somebody takes a shot. Or maybe they just have a gun on their ship, and maybe they just point it in the general direction and don't even pull the trigger. That will be justification. And that's when all the big shooting starts. And they've already got their Navy that is escorting the ships. Here's their video they put out. And it's kind of silly. They've got this rock and roll soundtrack. You can pull that down, Travis. But here's a quick look at the Venezuelan Navy before it disappears. Because there's absolutely no way that this is going to be able to be competitive in terms of firepower with what the U.S. government has. But, of course, if we go back and we look at another asymmetric warfare like the Falkland Islands War, they sunk the General Belgrano, and that was a big issue as to whether or not that was necessary. It was an ancient, ancient ship at the time, 40 or 50 years old, I think, and 250 people from Argentina died on that. Argentina decided that for the sake of hubris, they were going to take back the Falkland Islands, which had been under British control for quite some time. And Britain decided they were not going to do it, specifically Margaret Thatcher. And so they sent this long armada, giving them time to get off of the island. They didn't. And it's a very one-sided war. However, there were casualties even in a very one-sided war, even with somebody who's got this antiquated battleship, quote-unquote, that's been passed down from one country to the other, and it's pulled it out of the salvage yard and put people on it. Even in a scenario like that, they did have a jet. In my recollection, they fired a French missile, an Exocet missile, and I think it was the Sheffield was the name of the British ship that got hit with it, and destroyed that ship essentially. So even on land, once the troops got on land, it was a pretty one-sided affair. However, one of the British military people, I think it was a commander, was killed in that action. The bottom line is they don't care. They look at it, it's like, oh, we'll win. I don't care what the casualties are that we take. We'll name some bridge after them, or we'll put a plaque up somewhere, but we'll get what we want. This is the ruthlessness of politicians. They don't care about the lives of their people. They don't care about the lives of other people as well. And, of course, I think the whole thing was kicked off by the pride of the Argentines deciding that they needed to take that island back in the first place. They could have just left everything alone, but they didn't. And so now you look at what Trump is doing with this. And I think it's very interesting because over and over again we see people who take a very principled stand about things, and then Trump appoints them. And then they betray those principles over and over again. We have seen this movie play out. And Tulsi Gabbard is a good example of this. When Trump was in power in his first term, Tulsi Gabbard talked about Trump's actions towards Venezuela and how corrupt they were. Why isn't she saying anything now as Director of National Intelligence? Well, because she wants to stay Director of National Intelligence. It doesn't matter to her what happens to Americans or to Venezuelans or whether we have a war or not. She doesn't want to go to war with Trump. That's the way that it is with Republicans as well. Here's what she had to say back then when she was going to tell you the truth.
The United States has a disastrous history of military intervention and regime change around the world, which has brought suffering to millions of people. It's bankrupted our country, dishonored our troops, and it's undermined our national security. We must end this policy now before we get into yet another military conflict, this time in Venezuela. Now, President Trump and his administration have already instituted heavy sanctions on Venezuela. They've doubled down on their position that all options are on the table. I wholeheartedly support the Venezuelan people as they fight for a free and fair democracy. But the United States should not be in the business of intervening, of picking who should lead their country, and we certainly should not be threatening military action. Venezuela poses no threat to the United States. Congress has not offered.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Authorize the United States to go to war in Venezuela. And there's no justification for our country to violate the sovereignty of the Venezuelan people. Now, the reality is that threats of U.S. military action and regime change in Venezuela is undermining ongoing efforts to convince North Korea to give up their nuclear weapons program, which exists because Kim Jong-un sees it as the only deterrent against U.S.-led regime change. Now, President Trump is promising North Korea we will not wage regime change war against them, but at the same time is simultaneously threatening regime change in Venezuela. North Korea is going to look at President Trump's actions, not at empty promises. The United States needs to stay out of Venezuela and let the Venezuelan people determine their own future.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Every word she said was true. But that was then. This is now. Now we see that the principles are really about her. It's kind of like the situation we saw Pete Hegseth saying about Trump. I think he's going to give people illegal orders, he said back in 2016 on Fox News. I played the clip for you once before. And he said it's their duty not to obey those illegal orders. And he was specifically talking about Trump himself. Now that he's working for Trump, now that he's playing War Chief, War Pete, now War Pete is going to, you know, beat his chest, talk about lethality, and he doesn't care about legality anymore. So that's where we are. In keeping with long-standing Department of Defense policy, of course we're not going to release a top-secret, full, unedited video of that to the general public. Now the rest of the stuff was top-secret. As a matter of fact, all the videos that they put out of the pirate attack on the tanker. Okay, they bragged about this. There we go. There's pirates still swinging on ropes. The only difference is they're not swinging from their ship to the other ship. They're doing it out of the helicopters.
We extort, we pilfer, we filch and sack. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Maraud and embezzle and even hijack. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We kindle and char, inflame and ignite. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We burn up the city, we're really a fright. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Yeah, well, if the song fits, play it. That's what I always say. The fact that this video currently is deemed top secret, says Reason, should not be decisive, since it's Hegseth who has the power to declassify it. These vague national security concerns are being used as an excuse to conceal footage that might undermine public support for Trump's murderous anti-drug strategy. by vividly showing what it looks like in practice, and also showing that they vividly disregarded the very example that is in the military manual about what you do not do under the rules of war. There should be rules for war, especially for war. You know, when we talk about things like that, that's, you know, you need to try to contain it as much as possible. If you can't stop it, you need to try to at least contain it. That's what the rules of war are about. You don't want total war. And you don't want totalitarian government. And the most important thing is for the government to follow the rules. For the government to follow the law. Because if they don't, they become the most dangerous criminals on earth. Will you release video of that strike to the American people? Can they see it for themselves? This is back on December the 3rd. And Trump was asked that on ABC. He said, I don't know what they have, but whatever they have, we'd certainly release it. No problem. Oh, really? Hegseth contradicted that commitment 3 days later. He said, President Trump said he would have no problem with a full video of the strike being released, said a Fox News reporter. When can we see that video? When will you release it? Hegseth implied that she was mistaken in taking the president at his word. Now, we're reviewing it right now to make sure sources and methods are not compromised. You know, the sources and methods of how they take over with their pirate takeover of a tanker with, was it 1 to 2 million barrels of oil? Hegseth, I mean, it's an ongoing operation. And we've got operators out there doing this right now. It's almost like it's a 900 line. We got operators standing by. Operators, give me a break. So, again, he has shown the pictures of the tanker piracy. He has shown the pictures of all these strikes, including the first part of this strike. But he doesn't want you to see the people begging for mercy in the water that they murdered. Trump himself retreated from his promise of transparency. Trump denied that he had said what he said. I didn't say that. You said that. I didn't say that. This is ABC fake news. What Hegseth wants to do is okay with me, whatever he says. Yeah, the problem is we got the tape. And Trump is lying yet again. Then you have Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, a Republican from Oklahoma, an enthusiastic supporter of summarily executing anybody who is suspected of being a cocaine courier. He told reporters the issue of the video is, quote, the sensitivity, yeah, it's a very sensitive subject, right, of the assets used in the boat strike. It is a classification issue. I don't make the classification. If you don't like the classification, talk to the White House about it, he said. Well, Adam Smith, a Democrat from Washington State, the ranking Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee, was allowed to see the video during a closed-door briefing December the 4th. He says the claim that releasing it would compromise sources and methods is ridiculous. He said that if they showed just the portion that we saw, those two people on the boat, it's no different from any of the dozen plus videos that they have already released. Again, I repeat that. It's no different from any of the other videos. But there is a difference. You've got people waving for help that are shipwrecked, and they were murdered. That's the key difference. The other ones show them show that they're lying when they say that there was a conflict going on. And this is one of the most dangerous things about it. The idea that they are now saying that merely trafficking drugs that they prohibit without any constitutional authority, if they prohibit the drugs and you're trafficking it, then that is a violent threat. Folks, that is as much of a lie as a lie that they used to take away our free speech, that speech is violence. So they don't want to release this video because they don't want people to see it. If they release the video, then everything that the Republicans are saying will clearly be seen to be completely false because it is a lie. So we have shifting explanations coming out from the Pentagon, which is always a sure sign that somebody's lying. I remember Hillary Clinton at Benghazi. So immediately after the attack, Congress were told that the U.S. forces needed to clear the wreckage so there wasn't any danger to navigation. That's why we blew it up, right? This little tiny boat that we blew up We're afraid it's going to sink the big ships that are out there, so you know, we're going to clear the wreckage, right? Then right before we watched the video, he said, the explanation was that the unarmed survivors, quote, might have a radio. They might have been radioing a boat, and they might have been trying to recover the cocaine. So what? That's still not a fight. When you actually watch the video, you realize that they don't have a radio, that they're barely hanging on to what remains of the boat. The claim that they then became that they were, quote, trying to right the boat, even though the conflagration from the first missile strike probably destroyed everything in that boat, he said.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The latest explanation illustrates the alarming implications of conflating drug smuggling with violent aggression. Admiral Frank Bradley, who commanded the operation, reportedly told lawmakers he ordered the second strike because he was worried that the two floundering survivors could have salvaged whatever cocaine might have been remained in those capsized boat parts, which was all that was left of the first strike. Trump said, I saw the video. They were trying to turn the boat back to where it could float. And we didn't want to see that because the boat was loaded up with drugs, right? Now, I've seen things posted on social media where they show pictures of, you know, people, you know, frozen and zombied out and doing crazy stuff on the streets high. Presumably, I guess, from fentanyl. And they said, this is, they don't want you to see this because that's why we're blowing those boats up. The drug war is why you're seeing people in this kind of state. We didn't have that kind of a drug problem when the drug war began. I know. Because I was around. I know because I saw a lot of drugs being used when I was in, not just in college, but when I was in bands that played in nightclubs and parties and things like that. There's drug use going on all around me. There's nothing at all like the kind of drugs that we have today. Why did that happen? Because of the drug war. Because of that failed policy. It is not going to save us from that. It is always about the spiritual issue that is there. And so Tom Cotton said, well, they were trying to flip the boat so they could stay in the fight, a fight that did not actually exist, says Reason. And they're right. Since neither of the two men nor the nine others who were killed in the attack were engaged in any combat with U.S. forces. Cotton says they looked at one point like they were trying to flip the boat back over, presumably to rescue its cargo and continue their mission. You know, if looks could kill, all the U.S. soldiers would be dead by now, right? No, it doesn't even look like they're threatening anybody. He says it's at least it's plausible that they were trying to flip the boat back over. Maybe, you know, to avoid drowning, is what Reason says. What do you think? You think they didn't want to, they were trying to save the cocaine, or were they trying to save their lives at that point in time? Cotton said it doesn't really matter what they were trying to do. Since part of the boat was still floating, he said that boat, its cargo, those drug traffickers remained valid targets. In no way was this a violation of the law of war. That is a violation of the law of war, clearly a violation, according to the U.S., according to international sources. Everybody agrees that's a violation of the laws of war. It was not violence that was being conducted. And as our government has gotten increasingly violent in trying to stop this with the use of force, and you got idiots or bots or whatever on social media trying to cheerlead this war on drugs that has failed for 54 years, spectacularly failed. Why are we still continuing down this path? Why are we escalating the same failed tactics? It truly is insane. Any American who sees the video that I saw will see the U.S. military attacking shipwrecked sailors, said Adam Smith. Said individuals are deemed shipwrecked when they are at distress in sea, when they are helpless, when they are in need of care and assistance, and provided they refrain from any hostile attack. Again, they didn't have the means, and they had not done anything to attack in hostility prior to being hit with the first missile. They certainly didn't have the means after that. They were struggling to survive. Cotton's claim that the two survivors remained valid targets raises a question of whether they were even valid targets in the first place. The answer depends on whether you accept Trump's preposterous premise that supplying Americans with cocaine, not with fentanyl even, but with cocaine, amounts to an armed attack on the U.S. And, you know, we've all looked at this, and it's like, I'm not defending cocaine use. I'm not minimizing it. But it is not fentanyl. As I said, I've never seen situations like the fentanyl addicts and some of these other drugs that turn people into zombies on the streets. I've never been around anybody who's using, I've been around people using cocaine. It doesn't do that to you. So this is something that is, you know, we've created these more virulent strains of drugs. They are the product of prohibition, just as an alcohol prohibition. The cartels, the drug organizations, they are a product of prohibition, just like during alcohol. And the corruption and the stupidity of government continues to escalate, just like during alcohol prohibition. It was pretty much jury nullification that stopped alcohol prohibition. People weren't playing along with that anymore. So the problem is not only with this particular attack, but with Trump's general policy of treating criminal suspects as combatants in a non-existent armed conflict, which he thinks justifies killing them from a distance without legal authorization or any semblance of due process. Well, he is kind of moving from that anyway, because he is shifting it now to the oil, which really is the issue. That is the fundamental issue. That's the issue behind this phony, you know, intimidation in the Caribbean, and it is also what is behind his wanting to do regime change. So we look at it and we say, this is not about the drug war. This is not about fentanyl. It's not even about stopping cocaine. This is about regime change. But the regime change is about the oil. And Trump is making that pretty clear.
Getting land, oil rights, whatever we had, they took it away because we had a president that maybe wasn't watching. But they're not going to do that. We want it back. They took our oil rights. We had a lot of oil there. As you know, they threw our companies out, and we want it back.
Yeah, because, you know, he's been hired by these companies to get their profits back. We're going to go to war, not for the United Fruit Company, but for ExxonMobil, over and over again. Yeah, that's why he was saying it took the tanker, right?
Thank you very much. It's been an interesting day from the standpoint of news. As you probably know, we've just seized a tanker on the coast of Venezuela, large tanker, very large. largest one ever seized, actually.
It's huge. It's big.
Other things are happening, so you'll be seeing that later.
Huge corruption.
Later with some other people.
Yeah, lots of lives lost. It's the best war.
For the country, we've just launched the Trump Gold Card.
It's all about money. It's all about money. The grifter in chief is just amazing. So he's getting to the heart of the issue. Eventually, Trump being Trump, he will tell you the truth, no matter how evil it is. Waiting for the pulling back the curtain about Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, we've already seen behind the curtain, but maybe Trump will do that someday. But it's also interesting to see how the CIA and people like Tom Clancy and, you know, Steve Pachinik, who's working with him, feeding him narratives and things like that, how they portrayed Venezuela in the Jack Ryan series that was several years ago. Here's a speech that's clipped out of that.
Would you assume is the most major threat on the world stage?
Definitely Russia.
Definitely Russia. Who else?
China.
Stop yelling at me, but China is a good answer. Venezuela? Anybody? Everybody's cool with Venezuela? No threat? Okay.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Which one of these places can claim to have the largest oil deposit on the planet? More than Saudi? More than Iran? Wow. Okay, what about things like gold? More than all the mines in Africa combined? Venezuela is arguably the single greatest resource of oil and minerals on the planet.
Let's steal it.
Why is this country in the midst of one of the greatest humanitarian crises in modern history? On the news...
There's a central planning like Trump wants to do to our economy.
But on the world stage, they'll call it a failed state. Other examples of a failed state in recent history are Yemen, Iraq, and Syria. And if that's not bad enough news for you...
We attack them all.
Venezuela is also the only one of these...
Because we're a failed state.
30-minute range from the U.S. of next-gen nuclear missiles. You will not hear about any of this on the news. Because the biggest players on the world stage... do not want you to. Russia, China, can never be the most major threat until countries like Venezuela leave the door open to our very own backyard.
Well, there you go. So we got to destroy them before we have another Cuban Missile Crisis or something, right? Except that's not happening. Isn't it amazing how the so-called entertainment industry will feed these narratives to us? It's not a coincidence, folks. Again, I knew someone who worked in the Pentagon, and his job was to vet scripts. And if they liked what you were saying, they would give you military resources to use. You know, you want some jets that you can film and things like that. But if they don't like it, you don't get anything. You do it all at your expense. And so they had some leverage with people over that kind of stuff. But the CIA actually had a website. I may have been to it. I browsed some of their narratives because it's kind of interesting. I don't know if it's still up there anymore. I've lost the website address, but I remember going there and they said, we've got some very interesting ideas for movie plots. And Hollywood likes that because Hollywood is, if you haven't noticed, they are flat out of ideas. they have run dry of ideas in Hollywood. So they soak this stuff up. I mean, you don't even have to do anything except just make it freely available. Let's give you a scenario. It's one of the reasons why these things look so much propaganda from the CIA, because it is propaganda from the CIA. But they don't necessarily have to be in on the gag. It's just that they need some material. That's an interesting idea. So they give them an interesting plot for free, and they will run with it, right? And they offer to help you to create a plot, or you can just take a look at what they've already got on the shelf, you know, and you can do your movie about a pandemic or about Venezuela somehow being a threat to us. And think about what he said. How in the world do you jump from a situation to, nuclear weapons there, you know, just like Cuba, whatever. Well, if there's something like that, you address that when that happens. But the reality was what he said at the very beginning. The oil, the gold, and the Pentagon pirates are going, arr. Let's get some of that. So the dangerous myth of narco-terrorism, and this is from Common Dreams. It said, between the war on drugs and the war on terror, the U.S. government has a long history of waging bloody, unsuccessful wars against broad concepts that can't be meaningfully defeated. You know, how do you defeat all drugs? Especially when you're subsidizing the pharmaceutical companies, right? Who created fentanyl? How do you do a war on terror? That's a war on a tactic. It's not specific. And this is why these things need to be debated. This is what we wind up with when we have presidents who are able to unilaterally put us into these wars. They're not even well-defined objectives. And so, of course, we're not going to win it. They don't even know what or who they're fighting. So now we have the two of these things combined together, the war on terror and the war on drugs. We call it narco-terrorism. How about that? The great lie, the great myth that is here. Key to the White House's case is the idea of narco-terrorism, a label that could have applied both the airstrike victims and the Venezuelan president, Maduro. U.S. claims that Maduro is closely connected to Tren de Aragua cartel, despite the National Intelligence Council analysis that says otherwise. So, again, when you look at alcohol prohibition, you know, you could have called these guys, boozy terrorists or whatever you wanted to do, but it was simply about prohibition. They get very dangerous, very violent with each other and with anybody else who happens to be in the way. And it is a real threat. But it's a threat that comes from prohibition. And so they really ought to call these guys gangsters. But then it would invite the understanding that our own government is a gangster government as well. So the violence associated with black market drug trade, but there's, you have to acknowledge that the term does more to confuse than to clarify. The idea does not accurately explain the complex dynamics of the global trade war. Instead, it radically oversimplifies the problem. By portraying military intervention as a response to drug trafficking, the narco-terrorism myth allows politicians to ignore all the ways in which military intervention is a cause of drug trafficking. Again, you want to talk about the real narco-terrorists? You want to look at a confluence of terrorism and drugs? Take a look at the CIA. They are the typical narco-terrorists. They push drugs. They push drugs for illegal wars. That's what the whole Iran-Contra thing was ultimately about, and the crack cocaine stuff. That was about narco-terrorism of our own government, the CIA, the Pentagon, all these people. They are the narco-terrorists. Look in the mirror. This is all projection. And so, again, I'll just play Tulsi Gabbard again. Listen again to what she has to say about this.
The United States has a disastrous history of military intervention and regime change around the world, which has brought suffering to millions of people, it's bankrupted our country, dishonored our troops, and it's undermined our national security. We must end this policy now before we get into yet another military conflict, this time in Venezuela. Now, President Trump and his administration have already instituted heavy sanctions on Venezuela. They've doubled down on their position that all options are on the table. I wholeheartedly support the Venezuelan people as they fight for a free and fair democracy. But the United States should not be in the business of intervening, of picking who should lead their country, and we certainly should not be threatening military action. Venezuela poses no threat to the United States. Congress has not authorized the United States to go to war in Venezuela, and there's no justification for our country to violate the sovereignty of the Venezuelan people. Now, the reality is that threats of U.S. military action and regime change in Venezuela is undermining ongoing efforts to convince North Korea to give up their nuclear weapons program, which exists because Kim Jong-un sees it as the only deterrent against U.S.-led regime change. Now, President Trump is promising North Korea we will not wage regime change war against them, but at the same time is simultaneously threatening regime change in Venezuela. North Korea is going to look at President Trump's actions, not at empty promises. The United States needs to stay out of Venezuela and let the Venezuelan people determine their own future.
Now, she talked about that in the context of, let's try to, talk North Korea down from this precipice of nuclear weapons and things like that. Well, why are they doing it? Well, because they're afraid of the actions of the United States. Now, what else is happening right now?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Right now, that's not going on, but we're trying to tamp down this war in Ukraine. And what is Russia saying? Russia is looking at this, and they're saying this is kind of Russia, China are looking at this, and it's like, I think the U.S. is kind of aggressive. I think they've enacted more wars than anybody else. They've used nuclear weapons when no other country has done that. And so it destabilizes. It reduces the chance for peace everywhere on the planet. And rightfully so. People need to not be naive about what the U.S. government is trying to do and will do. And so when you have these, a lot of people on the left, and Trump is, Drudge is really trumpeting the fact that Tucker Carlson fell flat on his face. That wasn't even the headline. Usually Drudge will pull the headlines up. But that wasn't the headline. But they were talking about the fact that Tucker Carlson, in this snooze fest of a prime time address that Trump did, where he said absolutely nothing, but he made bogus, specious boasts about all the different wonderful things that he had done. Virtually every one of them a lie. A lot of people tuned in because Tucker Carlson said, well, I think he's going to declare war on Venezuela. I look at it and I kind of think that perhaps this went around because they are provoking this by declaring a total blockade. And then the response from Venezuela saying we're going to escort the tankers with our Navy while we still have one. I think you look at that, and that is, they've got everything laid out. They've got the dynamite all there. You know, it's even taken out of the sticks. It's all loose. And then we've got a match. And I think that Trump kind of, and a lot of people in the Trump administration are saying, well, I think this is going to basically come to a head. Shooting's going to start. And then that'll be the declaration of war. He's going to wait for that. That's the kind of thing that tyrants do. It's the kind of thing that Lincoln did, right? It's the kind of thing, people who want to drag you into a war, they manipulate things to get the other guys to either fire first or look like they're going to fire first. I think that was really what was happening with all this stuff. Tucker Carlson's suggestion that Trump would announce war against Venezuela during his presidential address fell flat on its face after Trump failed to mention the country even once. Asked by Andrew Napolitano earlier on Wednesday whether Trump was going to start a war with Venezuela, Tucker Carlson said, "Here's what I know so far, which is that members of Congress were briefed yesterday that a war is coming." Well, of course. They're doing everything to make that happen. And now Venezuela is responding by putting military assets around these tankers. That's going to cause it. It'll be announced in the address of the nation tonight at 9 o'clock by the president. Who knows, by the way, if that will actually happen? I don't, said Tucker. I never want to overstate what I know, which is pretty limited in general, but a member of Congress told me this morning. Again, they're going to push for a confrontation rather than a declaration. They're hoping that they can get war out of a confrontation. Then they'll declare it. And so Aaron Rupar said, well, I don't think Trump even mentioned Venezuela a single time during the speech. So Democrats, neither even other Republicans, are trolling Tucker. Tucker told everyone that Trump is declaring war on Venezuela. So what happened, said Dana Loesch. Ruben Gallego said, well, at least POTUS didn't announce we're going to war with Venezuela. No clue what was the purpose of the speech. Well, you're a member of Congress. Why don't you try to stop him? Several theories emerged, with some social media users suggesting that the White House gave out false intelligence so the media would broadcast Trump's speech. This is what you see from people like Jack Posobiec, Steve Bannon. They're always out there. Whenever Trump doesn't fulfill their expectations, or whenever he does something that they don't agree, they always explain away. Right? And so that's what Jack Posobiec. Oh yeah, he's playing 4D chess out there. You know, I really appreciate the White House's ability to run an information operation on so much of social media, putting all this information out there, said Posobiec, who himself is a creepy spook, and spoken like a creepy spook. So this is, he admires that, does he? Well, good for him. I don't admire unnecessary wars and unnecessary killing. So while all that's happening, the Pentagon is escalating the probe of Mark Kelly, the senator, the retired naval jet fighter, over the illegal videos order. And again, Hegg said the same thing. And he said it about Trump 9 years ago when Trump was running and Hegseth was on Fox News. The problem is, like I said, you look at, you know, a pox on both of their houses. The Democrats, Mark Kelly, and the other one who really organized all this, the former CIA asset, who's now a senator, I forget her name, but both of them were asked point blank multiple times, so has Trump violated the law? The clear answer is yes. He has given illegal orders over and over again, domestically and foreign. And yet they say, well, I can't think of any, right? Why can't they think of any? Because they don't care. They want to issue illegal orders, as the Democrat Party, all the people in there, want to issue those kinds of orders, and they don't want to take away that power of the presidency, the power of the government, because they want to use that power. So they're hypocrites on all this stuff as well. But I think this is really going to backfire on Hegseth. Because he said the same thing himself. And we do have, especially a senator, doesn't have the ability to question this. And the stupid aspect of this was that Hegseth and Trump never responded by saying, well, we didn't do any illegal orders. They had to have their surrogates do that for them. And, you know, when pushed on all of that, Mark Kelly and the other senator backed down. That would have been their defense. Instead, they say, well, no, we can give you illegal orders, and you better not tell anybody not to disobey illegal orders, or we'll come after you. How stupid is that? They just, like I said, you know, they laid this out there, and it was this pile of excrement, and not only did Trump step in it and Hegseth step in it, but then they had a temper tantrum like Donald Duck, and they started jumping up and down on the pile of excrement as well, splashing it everywhere on themselves. The Office of the Secretary of War, in conjunction with the Department of War's Office of the General Counsel, is escalating the preliminary review of Captain Mark Kelly. And we're going to war with him, too. The Warpeet and all the rest of them. So, again, the Kremlin is weighing in on the rising U.S.-Venezuelan tensions. The U.S. and Venezuela carry serious risk and could lead to unforeseen developments, said a Kremlin spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov. The warning came after Trump intensified pressure on Caracas by announcing a full naval blockade. Earlier, the Russian Foreign Ministry urged the Trump administration to adhere to a rational and pragmatic approach. So this could be a fatal mistake that inflames the situation. That's what it's intended to do. China has voiced similar concerns. Beijing's foreign ministry spokesperson said that China opposes all acts of unilateralism and bullying and supports Venezuela's sovereign right to independently develop mutually beneficial cooperation with other countries. And that statement is right. You see, that propaganda piece there of Jack Ryan talking about it, talking about all the resources that are there, yeah. That's the issue. And then he jumps to Russia and China. Well, that's what this policy of war is doing. It's bringing them in. Trump has highlighted the U.S. naval buildup during Venezuela, claiming the country is, quote, completely surrounded by the largest armada ever assembled in the history of South America. Maduro accused Washington of attempting to impose a puppet government, precisely. And then when it comes to Taiwan, China says the U.S. must immediately stop the arms sales to Taiwan and demanding that they recognize the one China principle. Trump began his administration in January giving $330 million in parts and components to Taiwan. And now they're looking at more than $4 billion, more than 10 times that amount. And so they're sending them the HIMARS, 82 HIMARS rocket systems, 420 ATACMS missiles, I guess, I don't know how they, ATACMS. If I was there, I'd call them ATACM, you know, HIMARS and ATACM. Anyway, China's pushing back against that. And then when it comes to Ukraine, the EU, talk about piracy, right? Piracy and theft, pillage. The EU will look weak if it doesn't confiscate Russian funds and give them to me, said Zelensky. Arr. There's your little pirate.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
He goes to an EU summit, and he tells them that. And, of course, Ursula, fond of lying, says, we won't leave the European Council without a solution for the funding of the Ukraine war for the next 2 years. 27 leaders of the European Union gathered in Brussels Thursday trying to figure out a way forward on raising at least 90 billion euros to meet Ukraine's financial military needs for the next 2 years. Central to this is an expected decision on confiscating Russian assets, but major hurdles remain, especially the fact that Belgium is dead set against it, where the EU is headquartered there, but yeah, it is a country still in Brussels. And this is where the bulk of the assets are held. Zelensky is also in Brussels, and he's laying the guilt trip and emotions on thick. He warned on Thursday that Europe will be seen as weak if it doesn't confiscate the funds and give them to him. Censorship, theft, war, pillage, burning, and then bringing in massive immigrant gangs to rape. Are they pirates? I think they are. And so they're calling this a reparations loan, but it is money that is from frozen in the EU. They call it frozen rather than stolen. No, it's stolen assets. Prime Minister of Belgium said the European states pushing for the confiscation of Russian assets in Belgium are mostly those bordering Russia, which have experienced Soviet tyranny, and they are still psychologically at war. But we are not at war with Russia, and we do not wish to be at war with Russia, and we must negotiate based on reality, not on fantasy. And he said, in reality, you don't steal money from a foreign central bank. Stealing from a central bank is like robbing an embassy. So what he's saying is, you are supporting a policy of total anarchy. And that's what the EU as well as the US are doing. We don't want any rules or any guardrails or whatever for war. We don't want any law that we have, and we have a financial system that is set up where we can steal money from anybody for any reason that we wish. All we have to do is label you. All we have to do is declare an emergency, then I can act as Caesar. Just take a look at what has happened to our governments, and they really have gone overboard. So it's crunch time for Europe. They have to decide whether they're going to be real pirates or if they're just going to play them on TV. So Putin showed little willingness to compromise in his speech yesterday. He said Russia will not back down from its mission to liberate its historic lands, and that the European swine, that was his term, backing Ukraine would ultimately lose power. And that's the other missing context of this. As I've said before, the Ukraine referred to an area of Russia, for 400 years. And I talked about this at the very beginning. You had the British defense minister said, we've beaten the Russians in Crimea once before, and we'll beat them again. Raise your hand and say, Mr. Defense Minister, well, what were the Russians doing in Crimea when you fought them before? Well, that was their territory. It has been since Catherine the Great 400 years ago. So, again, we have to do something about this. And it has to be done right away. The EU's goal is still to grant a massive 90 to 140 billion euro loan to Ukraine to support the war. And they're going to do it with stolen assets, not frozen assets, from the Russian central bank that are mostly held in Euroclear, which is in Belgium. That's why Belgium is pushing back against it, because they realize they've seen how devastating it has been to the credibility of the entire Western financial system, the SWIFT system, the U.S. dollar. They don't want to do that to Euroclear. But That's just one single voice that's out there. We want to finance the war for much longer in order to end it as quickly as possible. Now, I'm not sure from that quote whether that was satire or if that was actually meant seriously. That's crazy. Yeah, we have to finance the war for as long as possible to end it. So they want to replace the six-month renewal, which I already reported. Right now, every 6 months, they've got to decide they're going to keep that money again, and any single nation could veto it. And they were very worried that Hungary or Slovakia were going to do that. So now they've changed it. So now this is the new status quo. We keep the money, and it's going to require, a large percentage of people to say that we're going to give it back. So we're going to keep it unless there's a massive movement to give it back, as opposed to saying, well, we can only keep it if we all agree unanimously that we're going to keep it. We got to do that every 6 months. Now this is just there forever until somebody reverses it. That was the big thing that happened this week. Fred Mertz has thrown his full weight behind piracy. And he told the parliament yesterday, he said, it's about aid for Ukraine, but it's also about sending a clear signal to Russia that we will use the assets that are available here to help end this war as quickly as possible. If your intention was to end the war as quickly as possible, you would not be doing this. Instead, what they're going to do is they're going to end their financial system as quickly as possible. And you as an individual can take advantage of this kind of chaos that they're doing by investing in physical gold. Again, David Knight Gold will take it to Tony Arterburn. But that is one of the things that you can do. We're going to have, coming up in the third hour, we're going to talk to Jack Lawson about some of the other things that we can do, because I think we're going to see some massive disruption of the infrastructure. Of course, it's going to happen even if there's not war or terrorism. It'll happen with AI. But I think it's likely we're going to see attacks of war and terrorism. So German lawmakers approved a record list of arms and military equipment purchases yesterday worth about 50 billion euros. At a time when they are destroying all industry and manufacturing under the environmental war that they have declared against people. Let's go over the comments, Travis, and we'll take a break.
Roger that. We have iHandy says, I was thrilled to find my genuine DK journal with matching bookmark waiting in my mailbox when I got home this morning. Thank you, Karen.
Yes, thank you to Karen. She's the one who's doing that. I mean, she's been getting these out as quick as possible. We had them all set up, so all we had to do is put the label on. So we're getting pretty close to the point at which we won't be able to get to you before Christmas, but you can still do that, I think, if you order today. But thank you. Glad you got that. Thank you for ordering that, Andy. Thank you. Appreciate
it. New Republic Rising, 83, to the shores of Tripoli. Part of the Marine Corps' song is about them fighting the Barbary Coast pirates. Ironic at this point, they're being used in piracy themselves.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we have met the pirates and they is us. As in U.S. government.
Arg. Yeah. KWD68, what's Trump really done? AI is being pushed hard. Israel says jump and Trump says how high. Him being different is largely an illusion. He's liberal. Fruit parties at Mar-a-Lago, same road to 2030.
Yeah, fruit parties, that's good. He was selling LGBT merchandise, all kinds of rainbow stuff and everything in 2020. And all the conservatives wanted to put everything on the line to go support him, to keep him in the White House after he had locked us down, said we were non-essential, destroying our supply chain, destroying small businesses, and telling the big businesses, you can stay open if you're, Wall Street. But everybody else, you close, and we're going to take your jobs, give you some universal basic income. And then, of course, campaigning with LGBT stuff, all of that. And people out there, Trump's got to stay in. Just amazing to me.
Yeah, he stands for traditional American values.
That's like right, yeah.
The LGBT and, young girls and beauty pageants.
Yeah, there's nothing valuable or traditional about Trump. Nothing.
Wally Walrus, Trump is an agent of chaos meant to pacify conservatives while still bringing in the agenda. Patty Wax, the truth is that the media and others have excused so much criminal behavior except for Trump that those who have witnessed it figure it's just more of the same.
That's right.
Yeah, they've inoculated him.
They have. Yeah, that's the only inoculation that we got that actually worked. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back.
David Knight Show.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I wish I had the Christmas Night album.
Hot dog!
You can get the Christmas Night album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99. It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hatful. First, I'm going to thedavidnightshow.com and purchase the Christmas Night album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like... Are you going to throw a rock?
I want the Christmas Night album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight?
Can't you come out tonight? David's Christmas Night album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and his all-new I'll Be Home for Christmas.
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night album.
APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Flushed away, that's the headline here. What are they talking about? Well, pro-lifers are calling for regulations to prevent widely used abortion drugs from entering the water system. Now, the left has said, well, it doesn't pose any harm. You know, we flush the Mephistopheles drugs down the toilet, but not so much that as the babies that have been killed by it, and of course that's all part of it. Is that filtered out? Well, some studies have said that it is, and yet we have not had this level of, in other words, they didn't test it in terms of a filter. You know, when you talk about filtering water, I don't sell water filters anymore. I would definitely recommend one. You never know what's going to be put in the water. And so they're flushing the remains of babies that they have killed with these chemical drugs. And so you have the chemicals as well as the dead baby parts that they're flushing down the toilet. And this has now become the most favored way to do abortion, the pill that I call Mephistopheles. Anyway, regulatory push, pro-life leaders in Wisconsin, a state bill that would hold abortion drug manufacturers responsible for the proper disposal of abortion pills and for the remains of aborted babies. One controversial portion of the bill would require abortionists who prescribe abortion pills to also give women a catch kit and a medical waste disposal bag. The bill's sponsors clashed over whether to cut that provision. The bill's goal is to prevent abortion pills, blood, tissue, human remains, that have been exposed to the abortion drugs from being flushed down the toilet, entering the water system. It's one of several similar water waste-focused bills that pro-life leaders are promoting across the U.S. The chemical abortions have become the most common form of abortion in the country. Many pro-life advocates argue research has not kept pace with how rapidly the rate of the use of the Mephistopheles drug is being used out there. They say it's the very least federal authorities should determine if abortion drugs are contaminating the country's water. Again, you know, this is another one of these, they're turning the frogs gay type of thing. You know, by using that, you make a joke out of the real risks that are out there. And again, they want the federal authorities should determine if abortion drugs are contaminating the country's water. You mean, you're asking for the pharmaceutical industry and for the FDA to do due diligence? What, are you crazy? They never do that. They never test anything. They just throw it out there. And then if you start having a massive number of lawsuits from people who have been harmed or killed by this stuff, then maybe they'll take a look at it. But certainly not until that happens. That's the way it works in reality. Take the word abortion out of it and ask whether chemically tainted blood and placenta tissue, along with human remains, should be flushed down by the tons into America's waterways, said one person. Abortion groups often tell women who take the pill to either flush the remains of their children down the toilet or to dispose of them in the trash. Chemical abortions now account for more than 60% of all abortions. And at least 14% involve pills obtained from online-based abortionists, according to the Pro-Abortion Guttmacher Institute. What a name. Anyway, the group says that more than 2 million babies died in abortions in 2024, By these figures, at least 600,000 babies died from chemical abortions, a much higher number than a decade ago. And so the Wisconsin bill is called the Clean Water for All Life Act. It should have been enough that the pills killed children. It should have been enough that the pills killed their mothers in some cases, but it wasn't. And again, this is the real issue, to say that you don't need to go to a doctor and be examined to see if the baby is far enough along that it would be harmful to you to abort it. And go back and look at the testimony of some people who have changed their position on abortion and on the safety of this stuff. Look at the Abby Johnson, who was working for Planned Parenthood and now is one of the big advocates for life out there. She had a life-threatening experience from the pill, thought she was going to die, and that's been the testimony of many people. And to do that without requiring a medical exam, without having to look at that, shows a clear disregard for the life of the mother. But the fact that this also kills potentially the environment, creates a pollution cycle that can impact people who depend on clean water, this should be the thing that is the ultimate pivot, they said. And I agree with that. Abortion supporters argue there's no evidence about the abortion drug residue in the water, but pro-life groups argue the manner and the frequency with which the drug is administered has changed dramatically since these studies were done 30 years ago. When a pharmaceutical company, when a pharmaceutical begins being used as at a significantly greater scale through a new disposal pathway, in this case the public wastewater systems, it is reasonable and responsible to reevaluate the risk. Pro-life groups point to studies from outside the U.S. that suggest water treatment facilities do not always remove endocrine disruptors or metabolites from abortion drugs. As a matter of fact, you know, if you go back and you look at, I used to do this because I used to sell these water filters, and there'd be a story coming out about a particular contaminant that was found in the water supply somewhere. I would always go back and I would look it up because...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Go to the people who make the filters, and you can look up the different substances and see if they have tested it against that. And almost always, I would find that substance in their literature, and they would say they got 99% of it or whatever. So that's something to think about, and you really need to think about filtering your water. And that's true even if you're not on the public water system, because in many cases what happens is you've got some kind of a underground contamination or farm contamination through the water that can get into what you're tapping into with your well. So you always need to filter your water anymore, especially. Somewhere between 30 to more than 50 tons of placenta and human remains are flushed into the water systems each year due to abortions. And then we look at measles. They are really freaking out about measles now. you know, measles outbreaks here and there and everywhere. And again, it was a very common thing at one point in time, and nothing really to be concerned about. Everybody got measles, but nobody got autism. That's the reality, folks. Whether it's a cause and effect or if it's just a coincidence, I think there's a cause and effect to it completely. But they're having a hard time. The mRNA Trump shot is so hated that now it is affecting the entire vaccine grift that is out there. And it is a sham and a grift. And so Bill Gates is always looking for ways to inject us, isn't he? You know, when we've seen this from him before. I remember reporting it was in the fall of 2019. He had funded this microneedle and to get people vaccinated. He says, yeah, a lot of people are concerned. They don't like the needles or anything. You better believe it or not. But he goes, so this is a way, you know, he paid MIT to help design this thing. It's a microneedle that penetrates the skin and delivers a drug, but it doesn't go deep enough into the skin to trigger the nerves, so you don't feel anything. It's just painless. And here's a report about this back in the news now. He just keeps pushing on this stuff.
It's going to be the next mRNA platform, vaccine platform that they try and roll out at a wide scale. So first in 2019... Gates funded a study for the original development of these quantum dot implants. So it's a microneedle patch array. So it's got a bunch of mini needles. It's like a Band-Aid. You put it on your wrist, it dissolves, and it installs these quantum dot materials that last for at least 5 years. So they developed that in 2019. Now in 2025, Gates funded another study that shows just how advanced now this technology has become. It is advancing at a very fast pace. Now these microneedle patches can install literal quantum dot QR codes that can be read with AI with specialized cameras and decoded to store batch information, lot number, how many doses you receive. There you go. They put it on the pig. That's what it looks like. It's a literal QR code. You will be marked. This lasts, again, for years, perhaps permanently. And this will be used as a biological vaccine passport system where you won't use your phone. You won't use the QR code on your phone to enter the store and travel. You will use your wrist where this material is embedded in your body. And so this is very dangerous. And this even earned a spot at the 2025 Global Vaccine Forum, where they had their own session on these microneedle patch implants. So this is planned for wide-scale deployment for another pandemic.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? You know, and it all converges. You know, like I said, you got these different things out here. You got digital ID, you got control of movement, and all these other—they're all converging. And we've seen the Venn diagram where all these different interests are coming together. But we're reaching total convergence now. And this has been something, the whole ID thing has been something very dear to Gates' heart. You know, he's involved with the Aadhaar system in India and others. He's talked about this. Yeah, it's simple. I chip all of you in society cashless and put all the money on the chip. And then you'll do exactly as you're told, or we will turn off the chip and you won't eat. That's exactly where this is all headed. But when we look at Gates, he just recently was talking about RFK Jr. and about the drug stuff. And hopefully there'll be a pushback against it. I mean, that report there was from Children's Health Defense. And, you know, things are moving at an excruciatingly slow pace for me. So much so that I'm very tempted to say it's just a limited hangout. Well, I hope that it isn't. But this is what Gates had to say.
The position he's been given in this incoming administration.
About RFK.
He wrote a book saying that Tony Fauci and I kill millions of children and billions of dollars with vaccines.
You did.
And, you know, people can judge for themselves whether that's correct or not.
It is correct. Yeah, it is correct. And so the question then, again, becomes, you know, we've seen Tulsi Gabbard, who changed her tune. And, you know, this is being slow walked through by, RFK Jr., Marty McCary and others. They know that these vaccines are contaminated that would have stopped any other product. Why is it still there? Is it because Trump wants it there because Trump brags about being the father of the vaccine? You know, take a look, for example, at Bongino, not just Tulsi, but Bongino. And you had Dan Bongino. This was put together by Dr. Jane Ruby, put this compilation up. It's Bongino before and after the vaccine stuff that's out there.
Mistake of my life. Biggest mistake of my life. Biggest mistake of my life.
Yeah, yeah, we do. I think you need those billboards across America. Miss me yet? With a sign of you with thumbs up. I mean, look at this hapless guy we have in the White House now. He's trying to take credit for all of your stuff, too, the vaccino. But I'll get to that in a few minutes. I actually got a text about that today from John Sununu. He's like, listen, don't let Joe Biden, when you're in your appearances, get away with taking credit.
And yet these same guys are giving Joe Biden all the blame.
Well, John is great.
Right?
Bring it up John is great.
He is. Biggest mistake of my life. I just should have waited. I thought to myself at the time, I even told Guy, I said, you know, there's no doubt I feel like this was created in this virus in a lab in Wuhan, China. I have little doubt about that. And I figured, you know, I'd rather take my chances with something we created than something they created. Remember when I told you that?
He's like, listen, don't let Joe Biden, when you're in your appearances, get away with taking credit for President Trump's work on the vaccine.
Biggest mistake of my life. Biggest mistake of my life.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I thought the virus was created in the Wuhan lab, and so I'll take a chance on the thing that we created in our labs. It's like, well, that is the monster. The other stuff was a lie. And you didn't have the discernment to understand that. It's amazing. I think you really didn't understand it. But
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now through Compassion, Alejandra was treated and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home absolutely free with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I think what Trump saw in Dan Bongino was somebody who, remember when this stuff came out, he was saying as Biden mandated it, and then the people at the radio station where he's working, they were mandating it for everybody. He says, well, that's it. I'm not taking it. If they want to kick me off the air, they can't, but I'm not taking it. And he stayed on the air, and then he got very quiet about it. So people said, so did you get it or not? Oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. And then he comes out, biggest mistake of my life. I shouldn't have taken it after he saw, finally realized what happened. But that was at the end of 2021. I mean, where was he when the VAERS database was filling up and we had more people than had all the other vaccine adverse effects over a one-year period, over a five-year period, over a 10-year period, and on until it was more than they had ever had reported over a 35-year period. Where was Dan Bongino with all that? It's not just shutting down the critical stuff. So I think, you know, what Trump saw was somebody who knew there was, it was very risky and not really in his best interest, but he put his job ahead of everything else. That's somebody that Trump can work with. Then he saw that he was willing to inject the Kool-Aid for a job, right? Again, the sugar water, as Alex Jones was saying. Yeah, it's Kool-Aid, Alex. It's Jonestown Kool-Aid is really what you're selling people. the Alex Jonestown Kool-Aid, that's what it really was. And so then you see that Dan Bongino regretted compromising and taking the jab. He didn't need to stay with that group for radio. I mean, he was big enough that he could have negotiated his own situation. It might have been smaller at first, but it would have gotten larger. And that's something we've seen over and over again. The people are stuck with their principles, I think. They have, most of the people that I've talked to that were presented with that, the ones who stuck their principles, especially the ones who did it, not just because I'm a sovereign individual, but because they believe that God was sovereign. Those people have been blessed by God. Over and over again, I've seen that, the people that I've talked to. God will provide. And we need to have faith in that. And so now, you know, he regretted taking the vax to keep his job, and now he regrets the job that he took at the FBI. And he's leaving that out. But again, I just don't understand. You know, maybe he's entertaining. We saw that clip of him where he was doing the kung fu moves the other day. I mean, that's why people listen to him, you know. He's got an entertaining shtick or something, but I don't trust his judgment. I really don't.
Most right-wing content is largely entertainment.
Yeah.
It is basically either Trump is wonderful, he's doing amazing, we love Trump so much,
mm-hmm.
or basically just reality TV for people that want to pretend they care about politics.
That's right. That's right. Well, Bill Gates, we have him ID'd. We know what his background is. There's been some new Epstein stuff that has come out, and pretty much everybody's face is blacked out. That's not a good sign. When you're in a picture where everybody else's face is blacked out, something is up with this. You've either been killed or there's been a crime committed of some sort of a thing when everybody's face, but you can still see. For the most part, they're very young people that are young girls that are with him. Some more photographs were released by the House Oversight Committee from the Jeffrey Epstein estate. Five photographs released without additional context by the members of the panel include a Ukrainian passport with a female notation, philosopher Noam Chomsky on a plane with Epstein, and Bill Gates posing for a photo with a woman whose face was redacted by the Democrats on the panel. The images include a screenshot of a snippet of text conversations in which a person is discussing sending girls. So, yeah, we know everything we need to know about these guys. I think we've ID'd them. Just say be on the lookout for these people that are doing these types of things. So we got a lot of comments, Travis. I've got a couple of tips here. You want to cover this stuff here?
Yes, indeed. Jim7, thank you so much. He's left many tips.
Yes, he
says,
thank you.
Sentimental hogwash. And Merry Christmas, you old building and loan.
Yeah, of course, those are both quotes. Sentimental hogwash was not his comment about our program. He was quoting Mr. Potter in the movie, but yes.
I was saving money for a divorce if I ever get a husband. I want to spend the holidays with my family in Elmira. Yeah. And finally, that's it. Out, you two pixies, go through the door out or out the window. Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so
all
much,
that.
Jim Seven.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas to you, too. Yes.
Merry
to
Christmas.
To all of you.
And to all a good night.
To each and every one of us. A Merry Christmas.
Yes. Night with a K. Doug to 007, how many pages are in the journal?
I don't know. You know, I never looked. I don't know if they're numbered. They're not numbered.
It's a mystery. Mystery number.
It would probably take me the rest of the program to count them. There's a good number of them in here. It does have a bookmark in it, though, too. I've not mentioned that. So
yes, it comes with its own tassel bookmark that, you know, is native.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There it is right here, hanging down, the bookmark, as you can see.
So in case you want to use the bookmark on another book, you've got two bookmarks.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Birdhouse Blues says, the Dave and Ike Show should stream a watch party for the new movie release, Melania, scheduled January 30th.
That, I've seen the trailer for that. I should play that here, but
we don't want to torture you guys.
Yeah, it is torturous, and it is. I mean, the arrogance of the Trump family, the hubris, as well as the conceit and the narcissism, is just off the charts. We do have Melania reading for us. Here she
is. Santa see in the dark. Does he wear night vision goggles?
Green Acres is the place for me.
I bet he'd like that, because Santa likes green.
Or Santa likes green.
Goggles, because he might like red better. Should we leave...
That girl is really interested, isn't she?
Kiss on Christmas Eve, since they're good for his eyesight.
There you go. What made them think that that would be... that people would be interested in seeing that. And again, when you look at this movie, Melania, that's just a big payoff from Jeff Bezos and Amazon. You know, he's buying influence with them. That's all it is, massaging their ego.
We have Scott Helmer. Thank you very much, Scott.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you there.
During the pandemic, Rob Dew at InfoWars, Dell Big Tree, Children's Health Defense, and many more truth outlets, quote-unquote, all declined to cover my vaccine protest song, Shouting It Out Loud.
Is that right? Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't. But yeah, it does. It is hard to get things through through Rob. Yeah, it really is. So sorry about that. Yeah, we needed some protest songs. I wish I had seen that there. We've covered your stuff. And again, Scott Helmer, you can find him on Spotify and other places. You can also find him on YouTube and his website as well. But thank you for doing that, Scott. You know, sometimes... you know, it's hard for us to get traction with things. I know how you feel. I had a lot of my stuff was shut down as well, even within InfoWars. But thank you for doing that. Yes. All right. Yes, you got some more comments
and
here?
Jason Barker. And, of course, Jason Barker is a member of Knights of the Storm. And you can go to theknightsofthestorm.com to see the schedule and see their show schedule, our show schedule, many other shows. So go check out theknightsofthestorm.com. He says, we're going to have Scott Helmer on tomorrow. It should be a really good interview. Scott is a very inspiring story when it comes to standing up for liberty and paying the price.
Yes, yes.
So be sure to check out their show.
Yeah, we should get you on sometime, Scott. You know, reach out to us or remind us, because with all the stuff that's happening, maybe the beginning of the year we'll get you on.
There is never enough time in the day to do everything we need to do.
I know.
Pezzo Novante, 1776. The Guttmacher Institute is a research and policy NGO that aims to improve sexual health and expand reproductive rights worldwide. The organization was started in 1968 as part of Planned Parenthood. It became independent from Planned Parenthood in 2007 via Wikipedia.
Yeah, I think the name is somewhat ironic, don't you? Guttmacher, yeah.
There's a lot of mockery going
on. Yeah, that's right.
Also, I love how reproductive rights is always just code for murdered babies.
Yeah.
That's what it means. When they're talking about reproductive rights, what they're talking about is dismembering children.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're not talking about parenthood at all. They're planning not to be parents. They're planning not to reproduce.
Planned infanticide doesn't roll off the tongue as well. Might not get as many customers.
Yeah.
S.A. Miller, 123. Says Bongino got a cancer lump on his neck after he took the shot.
I'm sorry to see that, you know, and you talk about that. I have had a lot of differences with Scott Adams, and I felt that he was very, very wrong in the beginning. He said it's harder, getting harder and harder to tell these freedom lovers from sociopaths. And I said it's getting harder and harder to tell pragmatists from authoritarians. And so we've had a difference of opinion about this stuff all along, and he said, well, okay, you guys are right. You know, you got it right. You got lucky. You just had an anti-government bias, and so you got lucky. And it's like, that's not it at all. It's discernment. And yet, to see him in the situation, he just did a live broadcast in bed, and he is extremely sick with prostate cancer. And it was very disturbing to see. I felt very sorry for him, even though I totally disagree with him, and I would not suggest that anybody take any of his advice about anything. I still feel very sorry for him. And I feel sorry for him because he seems to have missed the whole point of life. He doesn't seem to have a relationship with Christ, and so I feel very sorry for him about that.
So pray for him. Yeah. When he comes to your
mind. Yeah, he's still alive. So we do pray that he would come to that realization. We're going to take a quick break.
Real quickly, Scott mm-hmm. Helmer sent another message. He says, thank you, David. Rob was a guest on my old radio show / podcast, and he declined to meet personally. Very disappointing indeed.
Wow.
That is very surprising. That seems like the type of thing Dew would have been interested in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I would have thought that he would have. But, again, the problem was at InfoWars, they were pushing the panic button, and that was making them a lot of money. And, you know, you don't want to go against Trump. If Trump is for the vaccine, we got to find some way to cover for Trump and cover for him his support of the vaccine. I know we'll tell everybody that it's sugar water and they should inject the Kool-Aid into their veins. That's really the way the thing went. Yeah. And more and more comment here from Doug to 007.
Yeah, he says, I watched the procedure, the animated abortion video on YouTube that David has mentioned, and it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was. And, you know, when you look at the outrage that these people have, if you show pictures of aborted babies, they recoil like vampires in the movies, you know, when you show them a crucifix or something. I mean, it is kryptonite to these people, and they, because they know what they're doing, and they don't want you to know. That's the key thing. They don't want you to know. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back.
Listening to the David Knight Show. Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, this time of year, you've got a lot of mega churches are turning to big stunts and entertainment. There's a big church in Dallas that does this kind of stuff all the time. I look at it, it's like, is this a circus, or are we worshiping God? This is kind of the absurd conclusion of seeker-friendly churches, I think. And so this is one that is in Houston. A woman is injured after she gets kicked by a camel during the church's nativity show. They actually had live animals, and they walked the live animals up and down the aisle so that you can have a near experience with them. And it got nearer than they expected with one person. As it's walking past, it kicked, and she was seriously injured and taken to the hospital. Don't know any details about that.
The real question is, how have these people not learned over the years? One of the only thing I know about camels, they go without water, and they've got a bad temperament. This is like a universally known fact. The only thing I know about camels.
Well, you don't want to get their nose under the tent either, I hear. That's...
Don't load them too much with straw,
I guess if they get their nose under the tent, they can spit pretty good, I guess. But they said that this happens pretty frequently with churches that think it'd be a great idea to have a live nativity scene. They bring camels in, and the camels sometimes get loose, and people don't know
what
to do with them. Yeah, that's right. So anyway,
I think part of it is Americans are so removed from animals. As a general rule, the only animals an average American experiences is a dog or a cat. Mm-hmm. They forget mm-hmm. how big these animals are and how easily they can injure someone. They're like,
And they forget how different these other animals are than dogs and cats. You know, one of the reasons that dogs and cats are around us because they're easily domesticated, but not so much. Most people don't have a camel living with them in their tent. Certainly not in our society, so. That's always a thing. But again, we look at this time of year, we have a couple of interesting stories. I'll start with this one. This is the Scopes trial. We now have the 100th anniversary of that here in Tennessee. It was in Dayton, Tennessee. And it was actually during the summer, not right now, but it was 100 years ago. So I saw this article on Real Clear Science, and I thought, well, that's interesting, because I've always been interested in the Scopes trial. And culturally, it's been a big thing. Of course, we had the movie, was it a book? Inherit the Wind? I don't know, but there's a movie with Spencer Tracy and others, And this is a couple of unbelievably big people in the 1920s, William Jennings Bryan, as well as the lawyer Clarence Darrow, who was also very famous at that point in time. And then it was reported by H.L. Mencken, who was also a very famous commentator at the time, and he helped to make it even bigger than it would have been normally. And I think it's kind of interesting when you look at it. Of course, it was there was a law that was passed in Tennessee. It was put together by a pastor. His name was Butler. So they named it after him. They called it the Butler Act. This is before they did acronyms. I don't know what kind of an acronym you'd put there. But it prohibited any state school from teaching any theory about the origin of man that contradicted the account in Genesis. And so they set up this test case. This is a set up test case by the ACLU. And again, Clarence Darrow and the ACLU. And they put this guy in. They got him there as a substitute teacher to teach evolution so they could test this law. And so they subsequently called it the monkey trial. But his conviction was later overturned by the Tennessee Supreme Court on a technicality. And so it didn't set any interesting legal precedents, but I think it has some very important lessons for us in terms of free speech, in terms of the truth, and all the rest of this. It was an epic confrontation, many people say, about science versus religion. I don't see them as, I think that's one of the legacies of this, is that false dichotomy. I don't see a contradiction between science and Genesis. I see science confirming Genesis. That's what I see as an engineer. And so I think that is, I think the worst aspect of this trial was to try to create these two, this false dichotomy. I think science, rightly understood, enforces religion. If you look at many of the great scientists, look at Isaac Newton, Maxwell, and who gave us the laws of Maxwell's equations that helped describe the interaction between electricity and magnetism and other things like that. And we look at these guys. They were very strong Christians. Pascal, for example, even had a Pascal's bargain. And so there's not a contradiction with that. As a matter of fact, Francis Bacon, who came up with scientific method, he was a strong Christian as well. And so the Scopes trial was a put-up job, says this guy, instigated by the American Civil Liberties Union. But that's okay. If you want to test the law, I don't have any issue with that at all. But this set this up because at this point in time, William Jennings Bryan was very, very famous, had run for president a couple of times. He was getting kind of old at this point. And the thing is that he and the state of Tennessee tackled this issue from a political standpoint. And they make this point in the article. They said he was looking at this and believed that once you get God out of society, things are going to start going downhill very rapidly. And he's not the only one. I mean, you got people like Richard Dawkins looking at the UK now, and he says, well, you know, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe there's a God, but I like the Christmas carols and the building, and I like the society that it has given us, right? The rule of law, the presumption of innocence, free speech, and things like that. And I don't want to see that taken away with an authoritarian religion like Islam. And so the problem is that you can't have the fruit of that without having the root. And the root is Christ, and they don't want Christ. I've said that before about Richard Dawkins. But that was the key thing about this. They had the other thing that I thought was interesting is because, you know, when we look through all this COVID stuff, what do we see over and over again? We see experts. Well, the experts say this, and the experts are science. And that was in spades. That's why Real Clear Science really picked up this article. Because if you look at the transcripts of the trial, it says, to put it politely, the experts were underwhelming. They rested on the presumption that something had to be true because I, an expert, say it, or other experts say it. The others' statements were vague. They tended to wander off of topic. Two of the experts trotted out the dubious Piltdown man fossil as proof of the missing link between apes and humans. At best, this was evidence of expert laziness and wishful thinking. Since its discovery in 1912, doubts had swirled around the Piltdown fossil's authenticity. And later, it was definitively revealed by Charles Oakley and Joseph Weiner as a hoax, and they called it an absurdity. But it's not the only one. I mean, that's Piltdown Man, which was the first one to be exposed. There's also Java Man. There's also one that is still put out there, Lucy. You've heard people talk about Lucy. That was something that was really, really big about Jane Goodall. I think the best summary of Lucy was that fossil story hasn't got a leg to stand on. There were missing bones and other things like that. Some of them they had pulled together that were scattered many, many dozens of miles apart from each other. They pulled this together and say, well, that's an early person that's kind of a mixture of different things. And it's like, well, it looks pretty doubtful. But it was always that way from the very beginning. If you look at Ernst Haeckel, who was known as Darwin's bulldog. He was a German scientist, and he was the one who created the series of drawings. And when I was a child, you would always hear Carl Sagan go on Johnny Carson talking about billions and billions of years. Always, you know, everything was evolution, evolution. And this whole thing was ontology recapitulates phylogeny, or the other way around. I can never remember which way it was. But their point was that if you look at Ernst Haeckel's drawings, you know, he set these things up to show that as the fetus is developing, it goes through the stages of, you know, first it's like a fish, and then it becomes, you know, looks like this animal, then it looks like that animal. So you can see that it's recapitulating. The evolutionary is evolving through all these different things, even as it develops. The problem is that was all a lie. Ernst Haeckel had not done these drawings based on scientific evidence, but like most of these so-called experts, he created stuff to fit what he already wanted to be there. And so once people started looking at the, once we got the technology that allowed us to actually see the babies, you know, ultrasound and other things like that. But actually, you know, before that, they had the ability, if you had a miscarriage or something like that, or even if it was an abortion, they could see that his drawings did not were not true. And that was known well before, and recanted by a lot of scientists, well before Carl Sagan went on and repeatedly pushed that lie that we all go through the evolutionary stages in our development. Not true at all. And so this is typically the way things go. You know, you have to always be careful about expert testimony. And you should always be able to see the data. And, you know, show me the information. This is one of the things I hope that we learned with the 2020 fiasco.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
By 1925, the science of human origins painted a very different sketch of human origins than the ones that we presently paint. It's constantly changing. And, you know, the interesting thing is that even though the science is constantly changing, and their evolution story, or any story that they can come up with that keeps God out of it, any origin story, that is constantly changed. You know what has not changed? Genesis has not changed. Not for thousands and thousands of years. It's not changed. It doesn't need to change because it's right. And we can see this just like with the Ernst Haeckel drawings. We can see as we learn more and as we observe more, we can see the hand of God in all of this stuff. Just look at DNA, for example. Look at microbiology and the explosion and all that. It's no coincidence that the big push supporting intelligent design came from a microbiologist, William, I think his first name was, anyway, his name was Behe, was his last name. And the book was called Darwin's Black Box. Why did he call it that? Darwin had a couple of problems with this theory of molecules to man evolution. Again, you see changes in animals over a period of time. Sometimes that is done by breeding. Sometimes that's just done by the process of natural selection. And that is genetic variation in different animals and natural things that happen that cause them to change slightly. But they don't change from a fish to a bird. They don't change, have any real meaningful change. They still are there within that kind of animal. And so Darwin was concerned about the missing links in the fossils, and that's why all that stuff about the Piltdown man and Java man and Lucy and everything. So it's been contentious, and they've never found any missing links. They've never found any transitional fossils. And so you had some of the scientists who said, well, there's no missing links. And we've been looking at this for, 150 years or something. So let's say, we'll call it punctuated evolution. So everything goes along solid state, and all of a sudden you have a hopeful monster that is born. You have some kind of weird mutation. And then somehow that weird mutation is able to reproduce. Well, that's not real either. That's no more real than Lamarckian inheritance, which was, well, I think the elephants or the giraffes have a long neck because they liked the fruit that was up high. So they gradually, over a period of time, they just evolved that neck because that's what they wanted, was that high fruit.
Well, I mean, you can see that. You know, people with apple orchards, their children just get progressively taller and taller as the generations go, and soon they're able to just pick the apples straight off the trees.
That's right. Yeah. And that's not true. And that was easily and quickly debunked. One person decided they would go through a couple of generations and cut the tails off of the rats. And guess what? That didn't make the rats' tails shorter in subsequent generations either. So there's various things like that that have been coming and going. So there was a missing link that was missing and still missing. And then there was Darwin's black box, which he said, I think one of the biggest problems with my theory is the human eye. And not just the human eye, but all eyes that are out there. And he said, it is so incredibly complex. How could that have happened without a designer? How could that happen by random chance? All these different parts working. And so it was his primitive understanding. Even in his primitive understanding, he could see that was an issue. And so that's why Behe called it Darwin's black box. What he did was he looked at microbiology and he said, yeah, you got black boxes inside of black boxes inside of black boxes as you go further and further down. And it still stays very complex. And it is still, even as you get to smaller and smaller organisms, they still are able to function as organisms. They're able to observe and learn and sense and reproduce and all these other things that are there. And it truly is amazing. And it is an example that as you get smaller and smaller, things are really getting more and more complex to do things like that. And so there's no missing links. There's lots of black boxes and many more of them. And as I said before, you know, one of the things that really dawned on me one time, we took the kids to SeaWorld and we're watching the penguins. And so you can stand at a level that is below the water level for the penguins. And so they have, I'm sure you've seen it. They've got glass there and you can look up at the very top of the window. You can see above the water level and you can see the animal, the penguins walking around up there. And then looking down, you can see underwater. And so we're watching the penguins, and they jump into the water, and they're going by us, and they're flying. And I thought, that's interesting. I never thought about that. They're actually flying underwater. Well, what do we know about aerodynamics? We know that because, and it's kind of common knowledge today. I mean, you get into a car, and you stick your hand out the window, and it's really pushing on your hand. You can feel the force of it. And that's the basic principle for airplanes, right? You get them moving quickly enough. And what that does is that changes the air, which is a fluid. It essentially compresses it so that it is something that can actually lift up a giant plane. And the only thing that's missing then is the shape of the airfoil, the wing, to give it that lift. But it's using the fact that air is a fluid. And I thought, now how would Moses know that when he wrote down Genesis, if he made that up? Because how does he break down the creation of the animals? He's got one day, you've got all the animals that swim in the sea and fly in the sky. So they're all done at that time. And it specifically mentions how they move. Why would he do that if he's just making it up? But if it's God who is designing it, he would know that. And so, story of Moses and the penguins. I guess we could call it that, right? You know, what does Moses have to do with penguins? He never saw any penguins either, by the way. But somehow he knew about all of that. And so then, you know, that's one day. And then the next day, it's all the animals that move and crawl and walk and creep on land. And so it's broken down these 2 days. He classifies the animals by how they move. And why would Moses do that? I understand why the Maker would do that, but I don't understand why Moses would do that. So, yeah, I don't see a conflict. As a matter of fact, the more I look at science, the more I see God's hand in it. So Brian's big complaint about Darwinism was that it was nihilistic. And he said, if we take the same thing that Nietzsche said, Nietzsche was an atheist, and in his mind, he no longer believed in God. He said, God is dead. We have killed him. And it's going to be really bad for our society. That's, you know, William Jennings Bryan saw that. He understands that that kind of nihilism is very destructive to society. So that was really what he was pushing back, and that was the intention of many of these people in terms of putting these laws through. But I think the thing that we need to understand as Christians or as conservatives or as liberals or whatever, we all need to, whatever our belief is about something, you should be convinced enough in your mind that you don't have to censor other people. In other words, we don't have to stop people from talking about evolution. We never did that. I mean, I taught the boys quite a bit about evolution. I taught them about evolution along with creation. And you know, we don't have to hide from things like that. We should be convinced in our own minds. And we should be open to debate and to discussion. And so, again, William Jennings Bryan failed to really defend Genesis in the trial. He was too focused on politics. That's a lesson for us. It's also a lesson for us that we don't need to run and hide for all of this, from all this stuff. And as he's pointing out in this article from Real Clear Science, he says, nihilistic ideology that would bear bitter fruit wherever it took root. The social and economic upheavals in the decade that followed the Great War of World War I seemed to provide ample evidence for Brian's argument. The people of the South were paying close attention to the events and were not liking what they saw. Brian's critique of Darwinism was the seed crystal that precipitated these anxieties into political action and the passing of the Butler Act. And a lot of people did it for that. Some people did it just because they said, well, yeah, we want Genesis taught to our kids. And, you know, this other thing is a lie. I don't believe it. We don't want to teach that to them. I think it's good to teach both sides of it. I think you want to teach the controversy. It's one of the things they do at the Creation Museum that has Answers in Genesis has. They show evidence. They say, here's a fossil. Here's this. Here's how the evolutionist and the atheist interprets this. Here's how we interpret it and why. And that's the way I tried to teach. So we don't censor. We should invite debate and free speech. And that's what really bothers me is I see people all the way across the political spectrum. I see Christians out there who are trying to shut down things. No, we need to be convinced of it and convinced enough that we believe that we can stand up against this. This is the problem with Fauci and all these other people. I am science. Do what I said because I'm the expert. No, we want to see the data. We want to see the details. And for us as Christians, the data and the detail is the Bible. And we talk about origins and Genesis. And we don't need to worry about that. It's, you know, I've mentioned this many times before. I actually discovered looking this up, I thought, well, let me make sure, see who it was that really gave this quote. And it wasn't Augustine, but it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who said, truth doesn't need to be defended. Like a lion, you need to let it loose and it'll defend itself. I think we need to be convinced of that, whether we're talking about science or whether we're talking about religion. The essence is truth. And I don't see a dichotomy of opposing things, you know. It's if you've got real science and if you've got spiritual truth, they don't conflict with each other. They reinforce each other. And so churches need to get the camels out of the buildings.
One thing I find
to get
funny.
Back to the basics. What's that?
Well, it's a bit of a niche topic, but in Pokemon, you know, the things evolve, and they still stay in the same family. Like, whatever this Pokemon is, it goes to the next stage every single time. Mm. Whereas in the theory of evolution, theoretically, a cat could eventually just become a dog. Mm-hmm. Someone at the game company looked at that and said, nah, things have to be consistent. It doesn't make enough sense for this children's game. That's stupid.
Yeah, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And I think the fool can look at these things. And, you know, as we've said many times, that building must have been a tornado in a junkyard. Or, you know, I look at a car and I'm not wondering who made that. I just think it happened. You know, well, our bodies and the bodies of everything around us are far more complicated than that. Before we stop, though, for a break, Lee Strobel.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Britsky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You may know him from a book that was turned into a movie, The Case for Christ. He's done many of these books, The Case for This and The Case for That, in terms of Christianity. He's a Christian apologist, and I don't mean that he's ashamed of Christ. I mean, he's giving people reasons to believe. And so he had a book that he put out a few years ago, A Case for Miracles, and I remember reading that. But he's now turn that into a movie, and it's in theaters December 15th through 18th. So today's the last day. I just want to let you know about it. Probably a good movie to see. It was a great book, and I really liked it. I thought it was very balanced and very truthful and well-documented. And I'm late in terms of telling you about this because I kept thinking we might be able to get him on and interview him. Hopefully we will someday about some of his books. But he was booked up and taking some time off, and so we couldn't get him on. So I want to tell you about this. But I also wanted to tell you of an example that he had. He said, a lot of people who are spiritually curious become more curious around Christmas because of all this activity. The culture is focused on Christmas, and so they begin to wonder, so what is this really about? You know, what does it really mean, Charlie Brown? You know, that type of thing. He says, I think people are more spiritually open this time of year, so I think it's the perfect time to do this film. Looks at the credibility of whether or not God is still in the miracle business today. And I think he is. You know, it was, like I said, Strobel's book, The Case for Miracles, is an excellent book. There's also, if you take a look at the diary of George Mueller, which I've talked about many, many times, that is a wonderful diary. And if you keep a diary with something like the David Knight Journal or something, or anything else, keep a diary, and I think you'll see miracles, providence, you know, and again, if you think about it, you know, if God structures things in your life, that in and of itself is a miracle. But he made the point in the book that if you look at people who believe that miracles have happened, it is highly skewed towards the medical profession who have seen a lot of these different things. And so he said, you know, when he talks about miracles in his book, he said, These are all things we have taken cases that are documented medically. You have a lot of eyewitnesses to this. You have people who don't have any motivation, any motivation to deceive. They're not doing it for a particular purpose. And then there is also no natural explanation for this. And I remember when I read the book, he referenced a study that was done, and a guy who wrote a series of articles. And the guy, you know, was not from a Pentecostal or you know, some kind of a background like that at all. And he looked at it from a purely data scientific standpoint. And he compiled two volumes of hardback books. And I thought it was so interesting when he interviewed him. I went out and got those books. I've got those books. And they, it's just, you know, like a bibliography is the way the thing is set up. Tremendous number of miracles that are all pretty recent that they went through. And so he said his favorite story was a story of a woman named Barbara. And she had multiple sclerosis even as a teenager. And she was much older at this point. She was had deteriorated very, very badly. We got medical records that documented her case up to the point where several years later she is in hospice. He says she's on her deathbed. She's curled up like a pretzel. She's rigid. One lung collapsed. The other lung is at 50%. She's intubated. She's got a tube to keep her going in her throat. She was virtually blind. She lost control of her bowels and urination, and her legs had atrophied because she had not been able to walk for 7 years at that point. She's dying, he said. And so somebody there said, hey, why don't we call the Christian radio station here in Chicago, ask people to pray for her. They had 450 people that sent letters. They've been praying for her.
And personally, I believe we've seen that sort of thing in our life.
Yes, this year.
What happened this year, just all of you praying, truly was an amazing blessing, and we cannot thank you all enough.
That's true.
It's just, it was wonderful and amazing to see, and I truly believe that the prayers are what helped.
Yeah.
And why you're still here with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't talk, couldn't walk. It's amazing. Anyway.
And now here we are. So personally believe he's still in the business of miracles.
Yeah. That's why I should keep a diary. Anyway. So she's got her friends that are reading these letters to her. And again, she's curled up like a pretzel. She can't walk. She can't see, none of this stuff. And so she hears over in the corner room where nobody was at that point in time, she hears a voice that says, my child, get up and walk. At that point, she pulled the tube out of her throat, and she got out of bed. Her feet and legs, which hadn't operated for years, had been 7 years since she had walked, suddenly carried her, and they said, and then she got her eyesight back. She had people in the room with her. The church was very shocked to see her walk in.
There was a church service.
Yeah.
The pastor's up front.
Yep, that's right. He said, anybody got any announcements since you walked in? So they couldn't believe it, and so
said the whole place erupted with people singing Amazing Grace. I once was blind and now I see. And that's the perfect song for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Her doctor that had been treating her, one of them said, I saw her walking down the corner to my office, and at first I thought she's died, that's gonna be a ghost or something. But it wasn't. So they looked at it as medically impossible. He said, this is just one of the stories in the film.
And we know that what science considers impossible, or what medicine considers impossible, is nothing.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, if you've been, you know, whatever your situation is, that's why I say, You need to pray for Scott Adams. He's in a very difficult situation.
Yes. It's easy to look at someone like Scott and say, well, he made his bed. This was his choice. He brought it upon himself.
No, I think, you know, I look at that and it's all of these things, that these medical poisonings and things like that that happen. You know, there was deception involved in that. You know, people were lied to, they were coerced, they trusted experts and so many other things like that. So it's never the person's fault. It's the fault of the people who were professionals who didn't do their due diligence, or maybe they knew and they deceived people. That's the real issue.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So I don't ever go there. I don't even do that with abortion. I mean, the person may know, but then again, they may not. They may have been deceived. There's a lot of that going around as well. So let's cover the comments before we take a break. I just wanted to mention that to you because you might want to take that. Today's the last day that you'll be able to see that movie. I imagine at some point in time it'll come on. Streaming on video, or you can get it on a DVD. Do people still buy DVDs?
I think it's all gone to Blu-ray and maybe even beyond that.
That's right. I prefer actually discs.
If people are still even buying media, most people just stream everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Which that means your library can evaporate instantly.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we run out of, we have some kind of a EMP or something and our culture just vanishes. It's become very ethereal. You talk about how temporary life is. You just got to pull the plug on the stream and it's all gone.
To be fair, I wouldn't mourn too much if this culture just went foot overnight.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
we want to cover those comments before we go to our guests. We've got Jack Lawson.
Yes.
Jack Lawson Books is ready to join us, I guess.
He's on the line.
Okay.
So we'll run through these. Pezzanovante, 1776. This is a 35-year-old, extremely fit coworker of my sister suffered a stroke recently at the office. 911 was called, and she was hospitalized. Tests were run. My sister learned yesterday that this otherwise healthy young married woman had been COVID-vaxxed.
Sorry to see that.
So pray for this woman.
Yeah. Yes.
And Guard Goldsmith. And, of course, you can find Guard at Liberty Conspiracy on Rumble, 6 p.m. weekday nights. Check him out. He says, evolution claims gradual random mutation offers advantages, but gradual is not significant enough to change. So they created the pretense of punctuated equilibrium, which is not gradual. It's insane.
That's right. Well, you know, one of the things is, okay, so they want to tell us that, you know, mice and bats are related to each other. You know, one evolves into the other. As a matter of fact, even
the Fledermaus.
German, the Fledermaus, right? The flying mouse is what they call it. Well, you know, what happens if... You know, whether you're going from a mouse to a bat or from a bat to a mouse, if it can't fly, but it's still got wings or vestigial wings or something like that, that's a disadvantage to the mouse. I mean, the mouse's big advantage is that it can squeeze through anything, right? Couldn't do that if it's got some you know, burgeoning wings that are there. So that doesn't work at all. And that's the case with all these different things. One of the reasons why, you know, we go through this, we teach the kids, you know, about a woodpecker or about a giraffe or about this or that. All these different animals have all these different systems in them that are unique to that particular animal. And they reinforce each other. And one of those systems by itself would be a detriment to their survival. They all have to be there all at once. There's not any way for them to show that happening. So, yes.
We have Christian constitutional conservative. He says, his mercy seems to be selective. Why her and not the four-year-old with stage 4 cancer dying in St. Jude's?
That's right. We don't understand it at this point in time. And, yes, God's mercy is selective, and we don't understand what he's doing. I mean, it's not always even about us. Sometimes it's about the people around us. And so we really can't understand that. It's like the song by, I can't remember the guy's name, but it's God works in mysterious ways, right? His wonders to perform.
Yeah. I mean, even in my own personal life, you all know I've got RA, and it sucks. I can't run. My walk is all screwed up. There's no soft tissue in my knees anymore, so there's pain. But I've met so many kind people just questioning, like, hey, what's up? What you got going on? Why are you limping? Mm-hmm. And for all I know, the reason I have this is because maybe one day I'll get the chance to, you know, witness to someone about it.
Mm-hmm.
So... Mm-hmm. Got to keep these things in perspective. The clay can't say to the potter, why have you made me this way?
And you never know, what it saved you from. I mean, you were going to ride motorcycles.
The motorcycle was fun. Lots of fun.
The RA is maybe less of an issue than if you'd had an accident on a motorcycle. So that's what your mom and I always think.
That probably would have led to a bit more crippling.
Yeah,
Mama right. C, 1996, says, my father-in-law was healed of MS after the pastor prayed over him. This was 50 years ago.
Yes, that's right. And that's what I like about his book. It's not just a collection. I mean, there is a two-volume set of books that is just a collection of things like that. But, he looks at it from a lot of different standpoints. You know, it's like we have the miracle of our relationship and rebirth with Christ. That's a big deal, right? Obviously the biggest. The miracle of the Bible. We have a lot of different miracles. We have miracles and providence and things like that. But he examines the efficacy of prayer and things like that and perspective of secularists in terms of reacting to it as well. It's a very balanced book. I thought it was an excellent book. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we have an interview with Jack Lawson, and I think you're all going to find this to be very interesting. And it is a time, as we are in this very dangerous time, that we should all be thinking about that. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jack Lawson.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, welcome back, and joining us now is Jack Lawson, and you can find his books, Civil Defense Manual, you can find that at jacklawsonbooks.com. He also has a Substack that he puts up very interesting articles. He's had so much experience in survival type of situations, and he knows a lot of people who are very well-schooled and who are expert and have lived this, and so there's a lot of excellent tips in this book. I wanted to get him on today because I wanted to talk about the vulnerability that I see in terms of infrastructure. The very first time I talked to Jack, we were talking about how vulnerable our infrastructure was, you know, to an EMP attack or something like that. And that was a long time ago. And we see all of these vulnerabilities really manifest, multiplying and interconnected. And so our entire society, our grid, and everything that supports it is getting more and more complex. And you know, we see this happening with the AI stuff that is there. The AI coming in and being inserted into our society is going to be a whole nother point of possible failure when we become dependent on that. We're going to pull that in, Jack, into the Pentagon. They're very excited about pulling AI in the Pentagon. I don't know about that. I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. And so you have these different types of failure modes, and because we just had a couple of stories about that I didn't get to yet today, but it can fail in some spectacular ways. But even the build-out of the data centers and the power that they require is going to be a real challenging thing. Whether it is the green agenda that's being imposed on people in the EU and the UK, destroying manufacturing and rationing energy, making it extremely expensive, or whether it is going to be done because of AI data centers, because they're going to get their first crack at any energy, and it's going to affect the rapid build-out. It's going to affect the rates of energy as well as the availability. So we got threats coming from both the left and the right in terms of the energy infrastructure, and that is such a fundamental part of our society. We can all remember back to the rationing that happened with OPEC. Just think when they start rationing electricity and other things like that. And that can come from any number of directions, but it also can come from conflict. When we look at what is happening in Ukraine and Russia war, the two of them are taking pot shots at each other's infrastructure, and it is so incredibly easy, and you've talked about this many times, Jack, so incredibly easy to take out this complicated distributed infrastructure, and it can be very time-consuming to get it back if they take out the right things, can it?
Yes, so. It can.
Mm-hmm.
David, I'd first like to say this. I have a Christian mentor. Now, I'm just trying to get the heathen out of myself, but he's a
we all are,
retired Army colonel, very, very articulate and intelligent guy. He sent me a picture from the Hubble telescope of our galaxy.
Hmm.
And he put an arrow to a little spot in, I think it was in the Orion arm, and he put a little arrow to it and said, us. And I look at this thing. I put it at the top of my to-do list that I look at every day. I've got to run it out 8 weeks so I know what's going on. And I was just blown away by it.
Yeah.
The Bible, I'm going on 79. Am I afraid? No, I'm not afraid. I used to think I was lucky, you know, and things that have happened in my life, I shouldn't be talking to you. I mean, it's just that I'm not trying to portray myself as Mr. Danger action guy or anything like that. But the point being this, issues I've had with my daughter, issues I've had in combat, I shouldn't be here. My daughter wouldn't be here if, in my opinion, it wasn't divine intervention.
Yeah.
And I think people have to know. This is the first year I'm looking at Christmas differently. It's not decorations. It's not toys for the kids. It's a good feeling, and it's the birth of somebody I believe is the savior of mankind.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we live as prisoners in physical, under physical laws that I don't think apply in the rest of the universe. And
that's right.
People,
that's a good way to put
people
it.
Look at this as things can happen that are outside of this dimension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they're then in the, you know, like, mass prayer. Mm-hmm. I believe it has a basis. But anyway, going back to, let me just explain.
And that's the ultimate, preparation, right? Is really that event that's going to happen to each and every one of us. And that's really what we need to prepare for first and foremost, I think. And you're absolutely right about that.
In this realm, food and water, I used to put food first. I've changed it around now. To put water and food, because the water situation is, that's moved up the ladder. I don't think people realize we don't have the wells that we used to have. We did open wells.
Mm-hmm.
We have a structure that's so, complex and so dangerous and so fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And, foreign governments that don't like us have been spent 35 years or more practicing hacking into our systems. And now, will that happen for any reason? I think it will happen if we align ourselves in some of these ongoing wars.
Yeah, I agree.
We've already aligned ourselves in the Middle East, so that makes a bunch of enemies. But I think that people have got to look at one thing for Christmas if they're going to get anything. Get some blue barrels, a couple of them, and fill them full of water. I have an article for free on my my civil defense website that tells people how to store water and store it safely to keep it, bacteria from growing in it.
Yeah, because as we're talking, always makes me think about Darwin. You know, he thought he saw bacteria growing in the water. He goes, spontaneous generation. It's life coming out of water, you know. It's like, well, no, water is a condition that's necessary for life, but it doesn't create life. But yeah, you can wind up with a lot of living things in your water if you don't store it properly, can't you? It's really is true. So.
Yeah, I've consumed water when I was in Africa that looked great. Until we found the black guys with me drank a couple canteen full, and they'd been used to those water sources. I put purifying tablets in mine, and I had amoebic dysentery within 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
And the water looked so good until we pulled the float cover up. It was in the middle of Mozambique, and it was a cattle watering trough with a windmill. We pulled the float cover up, and there was a dead monkey under there. full of maggots. And the black guys were peachy. They were just all happy and everything. I wasn't. The next day, I can guarantee you, I had it for a couple of months. And finally, a doctor in parachute, going through parachute school with me, he said, I got a cure for it, and I'll spare you the ghastly details. It was unbelievable.
Scared to death by pushing out of the plane, right?
Yeah.
No more dysentery after that moment.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll tell you what, people didn't want to be around me.
Don't have dead monkeys in your water. That's important safety tip.
And this is true of water you'd see in a beer commercial. Going down the Rocky Mountain stream, it can look good, but it's unbelievable. I'll say this, even city water, try to talk to these guys that run these places and getting information from them. They don't want to say anything, but the bottom line is if you're dependent on your tap water, you can expect it to be shut off at some point.
And you can also expect that maybe there's not a dead monkey, but there might be aborted babies in it, right? That's what I was talking about earlier. You know,
I wasn't aware of that until I watched you talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, think about that.
I can't get one thing about this abortion. What happened to birth control?
I know.
I don't understand why this is the means of keeping from, a woman getting rid of a baby is... birth control. That adapts a spirit to me that's there, and I think it's wrong, and I think it's actually evil
that
people do this, unless it's a medical emergency, and that would have to be really defined properly.
Well, it's taken a long time for us to get the to really realize what it truly is and what it's about, and they've done a very good job of keeping people in the dark about it. It took a very long time. I remember, when I was younger, the Christians all around me, none of them really got it. I mean, the Catholics understood it much earlier for whatever reason. It took a much longer time for most of the Protestants to come around and really realize what was really going on here and start opposing it.
They can manipulate
people pretty easily.
My wife and I, our third child, we'd actually paid for an abortion. We were living in Minnesota then. We went to Minnesota, Minneapolis. It was going to happen at 6 o'clock in the morning. We went out for a supper she could eat until 12 o'clock. And we sat there and we looked at each other and we both started crying. And we said,
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute. And I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Something, we're going to take what comes from this. We'll just take it as that's the way, that's what we got.
Good.
And we got a beautiful daughter out of it. My God, she was the first place fitness finalist in the United States against 4,000 girls in Los Angeles.
That's a great
and,
story.
And she's a wonderful salt of the earth girl. She's very, she's got her kids in a Christian school. She pulled them out of the school system where she lives because of the DEI and woke stuff that's in there.
Yeah.
And it's out of control. So, you know,
that's fantastic.
We took what was given us, and it was a godsend. And I use that word godsend as one word because that's what we got. It had to come from there. I can't even begin to tell you all of the issues I've had. She had another issue from me. Let me tell your listening audience a little bit about me. First thing was I was in the American Air Force, and this is a crazy guy that wanted to go to Vietnam, and everybody that was going didn't want to go, and I wanted to go. I went into electronics. I was guaranteed I could go to Air Commando School, and I got stuck in a missile squadron in Minnesota. I'm from Minnesota. I didn't even know there was an Air Force base there, and I ended up getting advanced electronics training because of my electronics aptitude. So I was the new guy that got stuck sitting on top of the warhead of the W-40 thermonuclear warhead. And I got irradiated from it. And I'm in the process of determining some of this. But the daughter I'm talking about, all three of our kids are great. But the daughter I'm talking about almost died from a massive hemorrhage. She's one of five recorded women in the world with two uteri. And she got pregnant in the deformed one. And of all places, she was, she has a software company too. She was going into an attorney's office and she called me and she said, Dad, she said, something's wrong. She said, I've been bleeding before, but I'm bleeding a lot. And she lost 8 of her 9 blood units. I said, get on 911 right now. So they sent an ambulance over from the trauma center right next door to where she was and got her in there. They couldn't save the baby. They saved her. But of all things, now tell me what the odds are. Am I lucky about this? Next door in that trauma center, there was one of the world's foremost gynecological surgeons giving a lecture to 100 doctors, American doctors. He was from Croatia. And they pulled him out of that lecture, took him in there. Again, he couldn't save the baby, but the baby's 4 months old or something. But he spent 6 hours reconstructing her female organs, and she's got two wonderful, beautiful, normal kids now.
That's amazing.
Tell me what the odds are that you would have a gynecological surgeon like that right next to you. So anyway,
that's a providential miracle right there. Not only was there a doctor in the house, but he turned out to be an expert obstetrician. How about that?
He I wrote a nice letter to him. He was just a great guy about everything. Am I getting afraid because I'm 79? No, I've faced death so many times I'm numb to it. And I mean that. I am numb to it when I see a catastrophic situation that I come across. I don't react like most people. I react mechanically. I've seen things that people haven't seen. After the Air Force, I went into the Foreign Legion in Africa in a nasty guerrilla war. I was in an anti-terrorist unit, and I got my fill of combat. After that, coming back to the United States, is on one of the largest police boards in the United States for 7 years. And in doing that, I ended up riding around with policemen all the time. And I have a great deal of sympathy for policemen. People complain about this happened and that happened. And they're a cross-section of people, like, as much as they filter out they're a cross section. There's good ones and bad ones. A vast majority of them are good people.
Sure.
So I've had a lot of experience with that. I'm not going to go into other things, but the long and short of it is, I'm more than lucky. Mm-hmm. And as I told you once before, one of my friends looked in my car and saw a Bible and said, "Lawson, you? A Bible?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I go to a Bible study group. I got a combat veterans group that came out of the VA that I go to, and I've got a another group of Christian people. I go there. I have problems relating. I'm trying to connect to our Lord and Savior and God and the Holy Spirit, and I'm working on it."
Well, you know, that's the key thing. You know, gratitude is a really, really helpful thing for anybody to have. And so you got the gratitude. But, you know, when you got gratitude and you don't know who you should be thanking, that's you know, who are you thankful to? You know, just past Thanksgiving. It's important to know who you are thankful to and who has put together those events in your life. And that's a real grounding thing. So I'm glad that you're on your way. We're all on our way. None of us have really got it all figured out. And so the blessing is that you realize that, and that's the key. That's really the key. So, yeah, you know, you talk about different cops.
Well,
and
before I forget it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before I forget it, Merry Christmas to you and your staff.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well. Yeah, you were talking about riding around with the cops and how, yeah, they're all, it's a mixed bag. And I've talked many times about Frank Serpico, what he had to say. He said, you know, when you have any institution, you're going to have good and bad people in it. And the question is the institution going to embrace the bad, or is it going to purge it out? If it embraces it, then it becomes a corruption throughout the entire institution, which is what he saw in the police department in New York and what he spoke out against. But, you know, we just had this terrorist attack over the weekend in Bondi Beach. And I had an article I didn't get to today, and there was a woman who was there, and she said she got separated from her three-year-old, and she said that all the shooting was going on. And she said the police were just there. They were just standing around, two of them, throughout this whole thing. And she tried to get one of their guns. Which she's lucky that they didn't hurt her, but she tried to get one of their guns because she's going to go do something about it. And so you've had a lot of people say they just stood around, they didn't do anything. And I've said for the longest time, this is why you need to have guns, and you know, teachers need to be armed, because you know what happened with that guy who disarmed the shooter. He didn't have any weapons, but he went after him unarmed, and so that's heroic. But you don't have that many heroes in life. But if somebody coming into your school and shooting people, and you've got a gun and you know how to use it, defending yourself and defending other people there, that's not heroic. That's just self-survival. And that's the key thing. That's part of the preparation, you know, we need to have.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, people do things for a lot of reasons. Why, you know, I've got part in my book and on my website of why people become victims, and it's incredible. It's human nature, though, mm-hmm. even though it is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I was very much trusted and liked by the Main Street policemen where I was on this board. They were all apprehensive about having me in their car. At first, because I was a board member, but
after you know, there've been movies about that, right? Ride Along, you know, where you ride some guy rides along with a cop.
Yeah. Most of them, their first instinct is to open the door and push you out. You know, they don't watch you. You know, but they just they got to trust me, and the word went around, and so they had me in their cars, and they liked the fact, you know. There were generally 99% of them are great guys. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's a cross section. As much filtering as they do, they get people in there that maybe shouldn't be in there. But they were great people. But it absolutely did one thing for me. I wanted to be a policeman at one time, and I no longer want to be a policeman. Those guys live in a combat zone and then go home to their families.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible mental trauma for those guys.
Yeah, it's really
our
tough.
Our group actually, one of our groups that I go to the Bible studies is we're trying to get some of these guys in.
Mm-hmm.
But politics come into play, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the unfortunate part of a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, politics is always there. You have the books at Jack Lawson Books. You also have a Substack. Tell us a little bit about your Substack. Where people can find it and the kinds of articles that you put out there. We've reposted some of them.
Well, I go back to one thing. I feel like an insurance salesman, you know, that's talking to somebody blind and deaf. It's critical that people store water and food.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, water and food. Second thing is medicines. And the third thing is to get together with your neighbors and get to know your neighbors. And the reason you want to do that, if things go bad, you're going to have an idea of who you can count on and who you cannot count on.
That's right.
I have a whole structure of setting up a neighborhood group like we do.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The long and short of the thing is, if things go really bad, which there's a strong possibility of, especially over this Ukrainian situation.
Yeah.
I don't want to bum people out before Christmas, but the next 5 months, you can probably expect the European Union to go into the Ukraine directly. I don't know what they're going to go in with. Woke units that are wearing high heels or what, but the French sent 1,500 foreign legionnaires in there, and I think they're probably all gone. I haven't heard anything more about it, but I'm not supporting the Russians, but I can tell you that they have obliterated almost everything that's been set in against them.
Yeah.
I'm sure Putin's a pretty ruthless guy. One of my friends in my special forces chapter arrested him one time in Berlin, and they let him go because they thought he was a low-level guy. They didn't know he ran all of the East German KGB, and
there's a lot of people that are miscalculating about him, aren't there?
Oh yeah, he's a very, very intelligent guy that knows how to use deception absolutely to his benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go in there, that's when this hacking If we get dragged into this thing, there's a couple of bills in front of Congress to get us out of NATO, which that should have been done a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
But if we get pressured, the president gets pressured because of a treaty to put people in there, and we get directly involved or even indirectly to a degree, I think you're going to see hacking of systems.
Oh, yeah.
Water, who knows? Drone attacks? I mean, look what's going on over in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to have very many Christmas trees lit over there. Their whole electrical structure is just...
Not unless they got a match.
Yeah, they're burning the tree. Because that's about all they're going to have. It's they've taken out almost all their electrical.
Yeah.
When you get down to generators, it's a touchy thing, you know, to run most systems.
And they're going... They're on the other hand as well, and not just Ukraine from Russia, but... The Ukrainians are sending in drones to blow up oil depots and other things like that, refineries inside of Russia. It's going in both directions. And it is so easy to do now with the drone warfare. And so when you stop and think about this, if we're going to turn the drug war into a hot war, and we're going to start shooting and bombing these different drug cartels, they've been around now for over 50 years, and they've gotten a lot of money. They've gotten very ruthless, and they've got a lot of equipment as well. But they don't even need to have a lot of equipment. They could do their own asymmetric warfare when you look at it. They could start blowing up our infrastructure if we go against Venezuela or if we go against Mexican drug cartels. And really, if he wants to go against the fentanyl, that's obviously going to be attacking Mexican cartels. And so that kind of thing could escalate very quickly. If that were to happen, I would expect all of this, which I think, you know, putting the troops into cities for immigration stuff, I think that was really more about moving the Overton window to put them into cities, which is something the Pentagon's been talking about doing for a long time. We talked about this under Obama even. This is a bipartisan agenda. It happens with Democrats, it happens with Republicans. It's got to move the military into the cities. We're going to be fighting in the cities, said Pentagon videos, and I played those for people now for over a decade. And that would be the thing that would kick it off, and people would be cheering for that if we've got drug cartels that start taking
That's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a double-edged sword, putting troops in. I don't know how they're going to rectify this issue with all of these people in here sucking the financial system dry. It's way more money than I think anybody's reported, but I look at these alleged $8 billion in Minnesota that just disappeared of federal funds. Mm-hmm. My absolute fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a multiracial family, but my sisters and brothers adopted kids from all over the world. They were kids.
Mm-hmm.
They grew up to become Americans.
Mm-hmm.
When you bring somebody from Africa, and I've warned people of this, that not to bash the Muslims, but they're Muslim, and they don't integrate very well.
Mm-hmm.
They never did over there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are Muslims, and
especially when you bring them in a large mass. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, you bring them in with the adult mindset,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing they do is what they did where they were from.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to tell you all about your country, but the place they left is a hole in the ground. It's absolutely atrocious. I mean, I've seen these people. I've seen the starvation. I've seen the killing. It's just they're somebody you don't want in your society, yet they've... How many millions have they brought into this country?
Yeah.
It's out of control, and
You were saying that you were saying you were in Minneapolis. That's now become Little Mogadishu.
Oh my God! It's I've talked to people. A friend of mine, his son's a homicide detective in Minneapolis, and
he's busy.
There's
huh?
parts of town they don't even go into with a convoy of police cars. It's just too dangerous.
Wow.
And that's never been before. The Minneapolis I remember was pretty calm, and mm-hmm. you didn't have those types of situations.
And again, if you
but
know,
getting
if,
back,
if Trump wants to do something, why not start there? You know, it seems like that'd be the obvious, would have been the obvious starting place. But they waited a long time to get involved there, didn't they?
Oh, it's totally out of control.
Yeah.
Last time I went back there, I could not believe it. They were giving unvetted people, all of them Muslims, they're giving a tour of the airport to try to remove suspicions from them. The tour of all the secure areas, everything. As far as I'm concerned, everybody up there has pretty much lost their mind. You know, they are too docile about everything. They don't want to offend anybody. But get yourself in a group of those people and see how you're really treated after they get familiar with you.
That's right.
Going back to the water, the food, people don't realize how fragile these things are. I've got a lot of articles, I think 120 or something like that, on my Substack, jacklawsonbooks.substack.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of articles on there that'll tell people how to do some basic preparation. And if there's one thing I could get across to people of anything I say today, is to store water and food.
Mm-hmm.
It is critical. It's going to be a madhouse if you don't have it, and you're going to be involved. I believe this, that if you don't have a plan, you're going to be a part of someone else's plan, whether you like it or not. And that part may be that they're going to kick your door down, injure you, kill you, rape your wife, daughters, whatever. I don't want to make this sound horrible, but if you don't have a means to defend yourself and you don't have food and water, you're going to be part of that crowd. The other thing they might...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'd be doing, if it gets bad enough, is having you for supper, because cannibalism, as much as people don't think it's taboo here, it will resurface. That's the long and short of it.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that with several different movies. I mean, the one movie about the plane crash, and that was at the Andes or something, and you know, they're stuck up there, and yeah, that's what that was about, you know. But,
yeah, you know how it starts.
The Donner Party or whatever, you know. That's one of the jokes we used to always do when we go to a restaurant. They'd ask for a last name, and I'd tell them Donner, so they would announce Donner Party of Five. Like, that's us. I mean, we're pretty hungry.
Yeah.
Better get us a table.
Oh, it starts off that somebody's dying and says, "I want to give the gift of my body to you."
Yeah,
you know, and people will resort to that if they're hungry. That's where I draw the line. I don't know. I suppose living around the world like I've lived, I've probably had human flesh consumed and didn't know the difference. But, I mean, they They said that poor girl in England, 13 years old, they killed her and put her in kebabs, you know, and
really?
That's where these people are out of control. They don't belong in this country. They're just, I don't want to sound xenophobic, but that's a fact of life.
Yeah.
They don't belong in this country. If you want the third world in this country, get used to living the third world. And I've lived in it.
Yeah.
I've lived in the third world and what I call the fourth world. And
what would you call the fourth world?
Well, I call the third world a place that has maybe gravel or a beaten path. The fourth world doesn't have a path or a they're just there.
Yeah. You know? So. Yeah, in a natural, unadulterated state, right?
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
But,
well,
but we are in a very precarious situation. This is not hysteria. I have a lot of contacts. People that were in the intelligence community, and they're all expecting something to happen in the next 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
When I say something happen, I think this Ukrainian thing is just going to go on. It's almost like 1984. You watch that movie,
yeah,
and Eurasia and the rest of the way, they're constantly going at war.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. I've never seen this kind of mass delusion and insanity. What I think is happening with it, Jack, is, you know, we, about every 80 years, you know, we have a massive restructuring of society. It's a pattern that's been pretty well documented. And so we've already got the economic aspect of it. The war is the next thing. As Gerald Slinty, who I have on frequently, usually says, you know, when they lose everything, they take you to war. And they understand the mess that they've made of their countries. They brought in this massive immigration stuff and, as a replacement, and it's bearing fruit now, and their Green New Deal, where they have shut down people's power and shut down industry and other things like that. People are getting really, really angry about it. And, so they understand that people are catching on, that people realize that, that's the program. And so to keep them from coming after them as a self-preservation act, they will take the country to war. I think that's fundamentally what's behind all of this stuff. Yeah.
I think if you look at history, World War I,
mm-hmm.
World War II, to a degree, the Civil War was over people in the South bypassing financial people in the North and sending their cotton and buying their equipment for cotton processing directly from England.
Mm-hmm.
That was economic to First World War economic. Second World War is economic. Look, the European Union is a disaster. It's broke.
Mm-hmm.
When Germany closes its Volkswagen plant after 88 years, you know something's wrong.
That's right.
They've had so much, so many woke programs, and they've spent so much money on social programs that are a waste that they don't have anything left.
They stop making cars, they're going to start making weapons. That's the key thing.
Yeah, that kind of covers the books. Yeah,
beat their plowshares into swords. It's the other way around, right?
Yeah. So I think that if the European Union goes in, that you're going to start to see a lot of long-range weapons that are not available now being given to the Ukraine, and they're going to start striking deep in inside of Russia, and I think the first thing that's going to happen is, well, imagine this, Putin calling Macron and the French premier and saying, you know that city Lille you got up there in northern France?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you better evacuate it because we're going to obliterate it in the next 48 hours.
Yeah.
They don't have any defense against, there's four or five weapon systems the Russians have, and the Chinese pretty much have the same thing that, they have no defense against
it. That's right.
Hypersonic, we have no defense against
it. Hypersonic stuff.
So I just hope we don't get, the Kinshell and Oreshnik and some of these missiles.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a nuclear cruise missile now. That's been on a drawing board since 1953.
Mm-hmm.
We started toying with it, but we dropped it. But they have developed something, apparently. So I don't want to see this happen. There's been way too many people killed. Anybody waves the flag and wants to go to war, probably hasn't been involved in one.
That's right.
The death and destruction is beyond words, and you just can't convey it.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to store food and water, bottom line.
And it's really is upon us. I mean, you know, there was a rumor mill that was sent around, and, you know, some people say, well, that was just to get people to watch Trump's address, you know, saying that they were going to declare war. But my take on it, Jack, I wonder what you think. When he declares this total blockade, and then Venezuela responds by saying, well, then we're going to use our Navy to escort the tankers, it seems to me like it's really imminent there.
Because
you know, it's just push comes to shove, and we're really close to that happening. And as my take on it was, I figured that the White House administration staff figured that was probably going to kick off before he even had his speech. I'm surprised that it hasn't kicked off yet. I mean, I haven't looked at the news while I've been doing the news here, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I get finished with the show and I see that, you know, they've already kicked off hostilities there with in Vietnam and Venezuela. I call it Vietnam because it's like we're getting dragged into this thing.
So. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think a lot of that comes from, I don't know. I've read that a lot of the computer systems that were tabulating votes were seeming to center out of Venezuela for some reason on the 2020 election. I think that...
Well, Smartmatic has been at the epicenter of all these questions about electronic election integrity, and there have been, you know, that it started there with some pals of Hugo Chavez, and they have had massive scandals in many other countries, not just in America. I mean, they were accused of election interference in the Philippines and Brazil, I think it was, and several different provinces of Mexico. So they have a long history, which is the thing that really amazed me. All the people who were pushing against, you know, for the election stuff in 2020 for Trump never brought up that history of Smartmatic. You know, even after they had the lawsuits and stuff, they didn't say, well, we're not the only ones saying this. This has been said in, you know, more than a half dozen different countries. They've accused you of manipulating the elections.
I question why that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't they make that case? And you know what? And why would they continue to use the machines anyway?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure. But I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I said that in 2016. You had the Republican Party in Utah, and they had a lot of strong opposition in Utah to Trump in 2016. And they wound up running a guy who was former CIA against Trump to try to play games with, you know, when you're going through and getting the electors, you know, for the nomination. But I questioned why the Utah Republican Party would bring in, of all things, Smartmatic into Utah, and I questioned that back in 2016. I said, so why are they trying to rig this, you know? And I think they know that the thing is rigged. They just want to be able to pull the levers themselves, you know? That's why they don't really pull the curtain back and tell you what's going on.
That could be. I'm of the belief we need to go back to the indelible ink finger
yes.
and paper ballots.
That's right.
I felt something was going on way back when they were having the dreaded tab problem down in Florida.
Yeah.
There was something, it just didn't look right.
The hanging chads.
The hanging chad.
Long before Chad became a meme of some rugged guy that is on the internet. But, yeah, that was, I thought that was really, if you look at it at that point in time, and you mentioned, you know, the indelible ink on the fingers, that's how they ran the elections in Iraq. And it's like, hey, it's pretty easy to do this. You do it on one day, you get the indelible ink that's there, and, you have paper ballots and you have people watching it as it's counted. It's not rocket science. It doesn't have to be. Now, the rocket science comes in when they want to manipulate it.
I had a woman, a black woman in my office. We were friends with her and her husband. And they knew all about my background. And he was a great guy. She was a great woman. And she was Daley's right-hand man. She said, if they're sending one of the Daleys down to Florida to sort that out, she said, those guys are masters at election deception. And quit right in the middle of an election. They told her to take some buses and run them around, and because the guy that was doing the buses was sick. And she said, I'm not going to do that. They fired her on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
The funny thing was, her husband was a very prominent architect. And all of a sudden, all of his business dried up. Hmm. They had to leave Chicago.
Wow.
They virtually had zero income compared to millions. And they came out to Las Vegas and ended up getting a business there. I went and testified for him in court as an expert witness on something. And, oh, my God, I could not believe what was going on. It was like it was following them there.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a judge. Yeah. It just was the whole situation didn't sound right. But she was very, very well versed in election deception. She said, I saw it all the time. They get Republican people as poll watchers who are really Democrats, and they've been that for 30 years, and they totally control it. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm worried about the 2026 election.
I don't even worry about the elections anymore. I worry what they're going to do once they get in, and I see the things being done by these different
that's
people.
That's true.
You know,
I think we've got a movement in the right direction, but how much another 3 years is going to do, I don't know, or 2 years if they don't have control of the Congress. But, why worry about if you're going to talk Democrat or Republican, why worry about a Democrat or Republican when you got Republicans that are worse than Democrats?
Yeah, in many different
ways.
That's
the unfortunate part.
Yeah.
Colonel Douglas McGregor made a very interesting statement, which was they vote the way their donations come in.
Mm-hmm.
And their donations come in heavily from defense industry. So in a way, as much as Trump supposedly has tried to stop wars. There's a movement that's the undercurrent is still go to war.
That's right.
So,
and you know, in his first term,
people need to prepare. They need to get their mind right about this thing. The situation we live in is just extremely volatile. We've got all of these social media platforms. One lady told me, I call them Satan's platforms because, people will say and do things. It's polarizing everybody.
Yeah.
People will say things to a person on the internet. I know an African American woman who got fired from her job for simply responding on Facebook to a statement she put out. And they took her statement without the other statement that got deleted and sent it to her employer, and they fired her. She had no hearing, nothing. They just flat out fired her.
Yeah.
And it was wrong what they did. She's a very nice lady.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing that goes on through these social media platforms. Hell, I got rid of my iPhone. I got a flip phone just to keep my sanity. You know, it's
oh yeah, that's right.
It's just constant. I see people, they've got their nose stuck in their iPhone.
That's
right. What they need to do is look around with what's around them. That a grocery store's got groceries, excuse me, before because a truck delivered them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have direct supply to distributors now. Grocery store being a distributor, they don't even have a warehouse with reserved foods in them anymore.
That's right.
I go over all of this stuff in the Civil Defense Manual. And if I've had people read it, I had one guy that bought my book and he sent me an email. He said, I don't know. He said, I don't like to read that much, but I bought your books, but my wife's read them and now she's telling me everything we've got to do. So I got the A to Z in there.
And you got it in a book format too, because it's one of the first things we talked about—the fact that you know you did that deliberately, because you don't want people to have to be dependent on electricity or internet in order to be able to get access to that information.
In a worst-case scenario, that won't be there.
Yeah.
So I also put it in 14-point font. It's big letters, and I put it in such a manner it's 8.5 by 11 in the book, so people can read it easily.
Yeah.
And this guy told me that his wife is now, who wasn't for any kind of preparation before, she's buying everything. He said, I have to watch her. He said, you'll go in and pick 20 cans of something up in a grocery store. But that grocery store is there because a truck runs. A truck runs because there's fuel.
Yeah.
A truck runs because there's nothing interfering with the navigation system or the truck computer systems. And that's very fragile, just like the water system.
That's right. And the fuel is there because they've got a refinery that is still working that hasn't been hit by a drone or something like that as well.
Correct.
I mean, so many points of vulnerability everywhere. Yeah.
Didn't they have a drone attack on a fuel dump out in California here about 3 or 4 months ago?
I'm not sure. I don't remember that.
They tried. I didn't see a lot of
it. I mean, it's happening all the time in Russia and Ukraine, and it's just a matter of time before it happens. Yeah. It's very, very, very easy to do.
Yeah, I don't know how a person is going to survive over there in the winter without some kind of a heat source. I mean, natural gas?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Fire? Yeah, well, it'll be like the very first story in my book about what happened in Bosnia in the 1990s. This was a civil society. It turned into a bunch of animals. For 1 year, these people starved.
Wow.
The worst of people came out. And people say, oh, this is America. It can't happen here. America's full of people. People are people. And it will happen here, maybe worse than it happens over there. The movies seem to give us all of the weird things to think about, and I think people will employ that stuff. So,
I mean, just look at what happened in 2020. You know, we saw.
Oh my God!
You know, the ability of people who will follow orders that they shouldn't be following. You know, the lack of judgment, the ignorance, the gaslighting that was happening, and all the rest of this stuff. I mean, you know, it was insane. I mean, we're just doing it all to ourselves. There's absolutely no reason for any of it. It was total OCD.
I have to say, I said this once before, I think in your show, my mother-in-law, we got her out of Africa, got her here. She's been here for 7 years now. We got her citizenship, and I have to say this. She had both of her legs amputated because she had all the COVID shots. Nobody could figure out. All the vascular surgeons, nobody would say. They knew what it was.
Yeah.
The closest they'd get was autoimmune deficiency. She had so many clots, remove her first her foot, toes, foot, leg up to mid-thigh. Other leg came off up to her hip. She's in a wheelchair now. And I have to say this, Trump was good enough to have the Immigration Service, when she got eligible, they swore her in the old folks' home. They had a couple of the immigration people come there. And that was very touching. We had a big ceremony, and they videotaped it and everything. it was a good thing, but unfortunately, her citizenship swearing in came after she lost her legs.
Mm.
Now, they thought they were going to have to take her right arm off. That hasn't happened yet, but
wow.
She'd been in a hospital in and out. One of the doctors finally whispered it's a reaction to the COVID vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So I urge people,
and they're
don't
afraid
get
to say
any
that.
Vaccines.
That's right. Yeah,
measles
they're afraid to
used
say that.
To take care of itself, didn't it,
yeah,
David?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, they're freaking out about the measles stuff. They really want to bring that back against us. I mean, I'm seeing all this media freak out about it. It's like, you're not even saying anybody died, but look at how they're freaking out about this. But it is a blowback because people understand how they were deceived and lied to throughout this whole COVID thing. Well, it's very important that people prepare. We live in a very, very dangerous time that is getting rapidly more dangerous. And there's some things that you can do and should be able to do to prepare for that. And Jack Lawson has one of the best guides out there, if not the best guide that is out there. JackLawsonBooks.com, Civil Defense Manual. Thank you, Jack, for joining us. Have a good day.
Thank you, David. Thank
and
you.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, and Merry Christmas to you. And to all of you, a good weekend.
Even take a photo on a phone, there is machine learning in the background.
Highest quality video capture ever in a smartphone.
In the metaverse, we're going to need AI that is built around helping people navigate virtual worlds as well as our physical world with augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a profound technology.
That includes like your position in 3D space, your body language, facial gestures.
We invented new intimate ways to connect and communicate directly from your wrist.
Everything from virtual reality to designing our own data centers.
Describing what's coming even, it's just so different and new. I've been in this infrastructure business for, you know, 3 decades.
No one has ever seen infrastructure.
Yeah, like yeah. And
now, I expect that these trends will only increase in the future.
In the last few months, we launched voice and vision capabilities so that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak. Supports up to 128,000 tokens of context. That's 300 pages of a standard book.
That's all AI generated. Actually, let's add in some Alto Cumulus files. All right.
Break free of the technocratic nightmare this Christmas and go back to basics with a David Knight Show bookmark and notebook. This high-quality embossed metal bookmark with a full-color design on the back is guaranteed to be cross-compatible with all physical books. And the beautiful faux leather notebook is 100% hacking proof. An ideal gift for fans of The David Knight Show or anyone looking to start a journaling or prayer journal habit. No bells, no whistles, just pen and paper. Available at davidknight.news. Merry Christmas.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.